You're listening to Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
On the Riotcast Network. Glory Hole Radio is now Riotcast. Riotcast.com.
What's up, Robert Kelly fans? There is no better way to usher in 2012 than to catch Robert Kelly live for yourself at the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Robert will be performing on December 29th, 30th, and most importantly, a very special New Year's Eve extravaganza you don't want to miss. Join Robert in bringing in the new year with an open bar, a kick-ass buffet, a midnight champagne toast, and much more. So start your 2012 off right and get your tickets now at the Stress Factory website at stressfactory.com. Then, for one night only, Robert returns to Boston at the Wilbur Theater on Saturday, January 7th. Tickets are going fast, so get them now at thewilburtheater.com or ticketmaster.com.
What's up? All right, we're here. Episode fucking 7,000 of the You Know What, Dude podcast. I don't even know what the fuck episode
what
it is.
What do you call your podcast?
Don't ever talk before I introduce you.
All right, I'm sorry.
Everybody breaks that fucking rule. I say to everybody, I'm going to introduce you. I'm going to start it and introduce you, and then you fucking start yapping. But as I'm introducing everybody, and you're not the only one, everybody calling, everybody does, and they fucking start yapping. Vinny Brand, the owner of the Stress Factory, and more importantly to him, fucking stand-up comedian, actor, and that's it.
I'm a writer.
You're a writer too?
I'm a writer.
We'll get into that.
I am into everything.
Well, I'm going to fucking tell you, there's only one way you can be a writer in my book now.
To publish.
No. If you have a certain item that I fucking own. All right? So you hang right there. You fucking keep,
I will hang, yeah.
Hang on, I'll show you right now.
I can't wait to see it.
Oh, fucking keep talking, man.
I will tell you why.
Until you get this. Excuse me. Let me, this little piece of paper. Excuse me, girls. And just to let you guys know, Vinny brought
his daughters, right? One's
my daughter, and one is my daughter's friend, and my
friend. Who you want to adopt? Your friend. Well, don't say that. You can't be friends with her daughter. What are you, Hulk Hogan? You can't be friends with your daughter's friend. You can be friendly.
I'm friendly.
You're friendly. You can't be buddies.
That's true. I'm never going to a ball game with her.
Yeah, you don't just hang out with her and get a latte. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes you a whole different level because she's only, what are you, 22?
Yeah.
21.
Yeah, and she's adorable. She's wearing a hat inside. She's like a little hipster. And you're like 50. How old are you?
I'm 49.
You're 40 or 50. You're 50.
You can't round up. I'm 49 until I hit 50.
You're fucking dead.
I am 49. I'll tell you around. I will outrun 90% of the 49-year-olds.
Absolutely. But she's still 22.
She's
so 21. You can't be her pal.
She's 21.
I rounded up with her. Rounded down with that, didn't you, pervert?
Let me tell you what's even funnier. Yeah, exactly. You're 21 or 22? 21.
Come on.
But here's what's funny.
I'm wearing 18.
But I almost came with just Hannah because Danielle nearly bombed out.
I wouldn't let you in.
I wouldn't even fucking let you in because I don't want to have to submit my podcast into a fucking court. Fuck that.
The funny part was I texted Danielle. I said, Danielle, come to the city and do the podcast.
Right.
And she goes, okay, maybe I will. Yeah. Then I invited Hannah. And then Danielle said, well, I'm not going. So I can't uninvite Hannah.
No, of course. I mean, I don't mind that. Hannah, I'm glad you're here. I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just saying that I wouldn't want him here with just you.
Right.
I'm glad that his daughter is here too.
It would be even weirder if when I got here, I missed the podcast and we just ended up going to the tree.
Yeah, that would be weird if, like, after the podcast, it was just you and Hannah and you're like, what you got? And you're like, hey, you want to go do something? I'm like, nah, I got my wife. And you just walked around, not even the tree. You took her to like a bar.
Yeah, or ice skating. Like ice skating or the tree.
Like a gay bar, and everybody loved both of you.
That's awful.
Well, first of all, now you're a writer, and in order to be a writer, you have to have, I'm going to show your daughter. Your daughter can read this. You have to have one of these.
And by the way, I'm a writer. Go ahead.
I am a writer.
Okay.
I am a writer. What does that say?
It's a Starbucks card.
No.
Oh, very nice.
You need a Starbucks card. Actually, that's not too far off. There's a lot of people in Starbucks writing, yeah, the worst thing in the world is going into a Starbucks and seeing hopes and dreams.
Yeah.
Just people trying to be fucking creative. Yep. Yep. Go fuck yourself.
And you know damn right well they're bad insurance agents. They're not even good at that. Well, and the thing about I hated Starbucks. I want to go and sit down and have a cup of coffee. I can't get to a coffee because someone's sitting there tapping out their novel. It's never going to see the light of day.
I know, right? What does that say?
It's the Writers Guild of America East.
Boom!
Nice. You got your card. Let me see, Danielle. Hand it down to me.
No.
Why?
Don't fucking rip it up, you cocksucker.
Never.
All right, yeah.
You know. I respect. I have to say something. Now, you and I have had a long. Look at that shit. Good for you.
Huh? What's
now,
up
how did
with
you,
that?
How did you acquire this?
I wrote something.
What did you write?
I wrote I had a show with FX that I was writing.
It's great.
Yeah.
That you're writing, still writing?
Not writing anymore. We wrote it for a year and, you know, we'll see what happens with it. But
good for you. No. Now, what I don't know, and I'm sorry to say this, are you still on Louis' show?
No. That if Louis actually talked about that, I'm actually doing another show for CBS. It's a cop show. I have a small reoccurring role. It's a small role. It's the
doesn't matter. It's all, you know.
It's a cop show, funny, and it's the comedy. Me and my partner are the ball busters, and we do a little funny stuff.
Is it a half hour?
It's an hour. It's Robert De Niro produced.
So someone did a funny cop show.
No, it's not funny.
Oh, it's not funny.
It's more like 90210 meets fucking NYPD Blue. It's like five young rookie cops. You know, they're really good, too. And there's a lot of famous people in it. Like, I know that fucking dude people. Right. You know, you know their names.
Yep.
But I know that motherfucker. And then there's me and my partner who are the, you know, the comic relief in every episode.
Here's what I can't understand. Why hasn't...
Why I have a career?
No, well, not you. You have a career. I have no career.
Yeah, let's get
but I have a life.
Yes.
Which is better than a career anyway. But let me tell you something. I don't know why Hollywood can't get this straight. Why doesn't someone make a cop show?
Yeah.
Or a show about lawyers or a show about doctors. Because those three topics need to be covered finally.
Yeah.
It's awful.
You know what's so funny, though? They haven't made a funny cop show.
Since Barney Miller.
Well, since The Job. I would say The Job, the first season.
I didn't
see
The Job.
The Job was fucking funny, man.
Who was The Job?
Dennis Leary.
Right, okay.
Dennis Leary, Lenny Clark, same crew as Rescue Me, except cops.
Right.
But it was edgy. Mm-hmm. There was cheating. There was all kinds of fucked up shit on it. Hilarious, but the lady at, I don't know what network, fucking douched it.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, what, the cop show needs to be made. It's not in a city. What they need,
right.
Like Reno 90, whatever the hell it was, Reno, Comedy Central's Reno show.
Right, yeah.
Was had its moments, but it was still in a city, and they had the bizarre shit going on. I want to see a cop show set in suburban America and the crap that they deal with, which is so mundane and so much more relevant. Like, I mean, could you imagine getting called because Mrs. Jones' dog is barking again and you went through the academy for that? And what happens to your head when you have to show up and go, Mrs. Jones, shut your dog up?
But that's, I mean, most of cops work. I mean, found out this doing the show. I learned a lot about the police, how the police. There's rookies who do shit work,
of course.
And then there's, you know, the 20-year guys who are looking for a pension. Then there's it's just like any other job. There's fucking politics.
Yes.
It's just like show business. It's like being a comic.
Yep.
There's guys who are fucking sergeants and lieutenants who sucked. Your daughter's here. Who
did what they had to do?
Do what they fucking Vinny. I said I'd never do it on my podcast. Now you fucking made me. You
dance around it.
You made me. I'm on FM radio right now. This is not fucking podcast internet. I'm on FM radio right now because I don't want to say dirty words in front of your daughter and your friend.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But you know what the thing is? You don't even need the dirty words, Robert. You don't need them.
Go fuck your own cunt. Listen, who's in the chat room? Your daughter's actually running the chat room and playing with my dog at the same time.
Now, your podcast does not broadcast live.
No, we do it live. We're not doing it live. I was going to do it live tonight, but we just changed Glory Hole Radio over to Riot Cast. So I had to change. I never changed all the shit out of the live.
Right.
I can just hit a button and go live right now.
Now,
and that's what I was going to do because I thought it'd be interesting. It's Christmas, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But we're actually in a chat room for the first time. I never did a chat room. We're in a chat room right now.
So how are people chatting? Are they hearing us live on the internet?
They're hearing us, I believe, through this computer. I don't know.
It's magic. It's just magic to people our age. Something's happening. I don't know how it's happening.
I don't know. I think they're hearing us through this computer. I don't know. But if you want to type in, if you guys have any questions for Vinny Brand,
the first question is, who are you? I'm going to be very annoyed.
I need to write questions to him.
No, don't write questions to him. You can say, ask them, hey, chat room, if you want to ask Vinny Brand any questions.
Right.
And I mean, if you can hear us in the chat room.
Let us know.
let us fucking know. Let us
Robert,
know if you can hear us.
Yes, sir. Question. Is your podcast on iTunes?
My podcast is on iTunes. It's on everything. But mainly Riotcast.com.
And Riotcast is who?
Riotcast is... it's a network of podcasts. Florentine's on it.
Okay.
Rich Voss's podcast. My Wife Hates Me. The Comedy Cellar. Jersey Jerks.
Okay, so we're doing it because everybody's starting a podcast, but I actually am going to do one, and I want to ask you if you'll do mine.
All right.
But we're doing it with a live studio audience.
I actually listened to your podcast. That was the first one. Yeah, it was awful.
But you got to understand something.
This is what the only good part is when it took you 30 minutes to start talking. It was you and him talking about a fucking song. I almost killed myself. What song was it?
But In Your Eyes, maybe.
No, it was some fun. But it was like you guys were
but
just
no, that was my buddy actually that did that. That was his podcast.
Yeah, it and sounded good.
He does great sound.
Right, it sounded
great. But see, he went to a podcast. I said to him, listen, I'll come up. I was in Boston. I did the podcast with him. He put it up. Now, we're going to do a podcast with comics, but I'm going to call it...
What?
I'm going to let a comic do a set live in front of an audience.
Right.
And then we're going to do the podcast immediately after that. So if the audience has questions, for example, on Thursday night from your set, they can sit there and interact with it. I think that makes it...
What do you mean? Well, I don't understand that.
Okay, next Thursday you're at the club.
Yes,
and
I am.
And I'm very excited to have you there.
Me too.
Okay,
it's going to be great, yeah.
Yeah, now you're going to do the show.
Right.
And then I want to set up and... Is someone's phone ringing?
Nope.
Okay. I want to set up and have you then do the podcast with me right in front of a live audience. So if someone's sitting there, they can interact with us. And we'll say, I'm going to produce the podcast, meaning it'll have segments. It'll be right. And I'm going to interview you about your career.
Wait a minute. You're going to produce the podcast.
Yeah.
So you're going to do a podcast during a live show.
Yeah. Not the show.
Right.
The show happens.
And then after the
show. And then after that, I'm going to bring you back up on stage. We're going to do the podcast in front of the audience.
In front of the crowd. But how long is that show going to be?
Well, I do know some people are going to leave, obviously. But we're also going to tell Rutgers kids, you can come down just for the podcast. Because I don't need an audience of 200. If you have an audience of 20, it's a fascinating thing.
I don't know if the word fascinating is the word. I don't think it's fucking Middle Earth or anything to do with the Chronicles of Narnia. But
okay, it's interesting for people.
Fascinating.
Well, can I say
you think me and you on stage at your club is fascinating?
I think you're fascinating.
Maybe interesting.
Interesting.
If we both had swords and elixirs.
Okay, can I tell you something? You're right. It's not fascinating. No, and comics aren't brilliant.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Well,
comic is brilliant.
I disagree.
No. You know what brilliant is? Brilliant is a guy who is right now one chromosome away from curing cancer. That's brilliant. A guy who makes a clever joke is clever. He's smart even, but he's not brilliant.
I think certain people... I think Patrice was brilliant. I think Patrice was brilliant. And let me back it up before you go off on a tangent. Is that a good word? It's better than fucking your words. What was your big word again?
Tangent's a good word.
All right. I think that he was brilliant because... He actually was so funny. You never saw him with a notebook. You never saw him with people writing for him. You never saw him working shit out. He actually just went on stage. But he was that funny.
He was
funnier. He was funnier than anybody I know. He was on another level every time you saw him. He was just like, oh, you watched him. I watched him and felt guilty every fucking time. Like, I suck. Even after I killed, I've done shows with him where I fucking annihilated.
Right.
Okay. Like, what the fuck? And then he goes up and he does his thing. And I'm just like, fuck me.
Well, you know, Patrice did better than anybody.
What?
Patrice held the mirror up and talked about the, in my opinion, yes, he talked about what was behind an action.
Yeah.
So in other words, if Patrice said, well, women do this, it wasn't women, women, you know, rag on their men. It was, here's why this is happening. Patrice went one level or two levels deeper than most comics would care to go.
Right.
Or could go.
Right.
So I agree with you. When Patrice was doing, but Patrice, you know, also did 50 different ways to come on a woman's face and call it the pirate and everything else.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, look, I'm not saying that. I just think that a guy like that, and she brought up Geraldo too. I mean, Geraldo, in certain ways, comics, there are comics that are fucking brilliant. And I understand what you're saying. We're all up there telling jokes. But certain people told them in such a fucking way that silhouetted themselves on... above everybody.
Listen, well, that's a different conversation.
Like David Tell.
Tell's great.
He's fucking brilliant at what
prolific.
He does.
Ah. Prolific meaning a wide body of work. A lot of jokes. Prolific writer.
I think he's... But he's brilliant because people copy him. People steal it.
Oh, David Tell is the most... ripped off, not just for...
Name names. Go.
Oh, come on. I'm not going to name.
Then don't fucking talk about
it. Okay. Here's the thing. I'll name names.
Sorry, go ahead.
I think that the guys that were very heavily influenced, you know, love them. Big J was very heavily influenced by David Tell.
Yeah.
Right down to saying any who on stage. Now, look.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with Dave.
I've heard that, too.
Huh?
I've heard
of
that.
Of course.
Too, yeah.
Here's the problem with Dave. Yeah. When you watch Dave, you love him so much
mm-hmm.
that for the next week you're going, anywho, you know, because you can't help it because it's so goddamn funny.
What are we
funny.
Doing?
Huh?
What are we doing?
Anywho, how I can't do it. Tell
I actually like the way you do it better than Dave.
I'm much better doing Dave than David.
Yeah, but, yeah, that was almost like the Scrooge, the movie with Jimmy. Anywho,
hey, well, also Regan. When you watch Regan,
yeah.
you end up going. Sorry, you too. You right. just, you can't help it. You fall into that voice. You watch Gaffigan and you go. So there's certain people that have that such a pronounced way about
mm-hmm.
them.
Yeah.
When David Tell is stomping his feet.
Yeah.
And he's going.
Right.
Mm,
yeah,
yeah. Okay, listen. Those are part and parcel of his.
If you ever say part and parcel again, and we're not selling fucking beaver pelts off a wagon, I will throw my microphone at you.
Okay, they are the core of his abbreviations.
Your diction stinks.
My diction? That's not diction. That would be my word selection.
No, what's the elocution stinks?
It's awful. I'm deaf. I can't say any words right. Most of the time when I meet people,
right,
I don't hear their name right, or there are certain right. words I always... I'm afraid to say.
How the fuck? This is so weird, man. How do you fucking do comedy and you're deaf?
I'm going to tell you what I think happened. I've been deaf since I'm about 12.
Right.
So I went to this great audiologist finally. Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of shit audiologists. Just,
right.
So I went to this great audiologist and she sat down and she said, she did some reading.
Hang on one second. Can you take that squeaky? That's fucking up everything. My wife, no fucking squeaky toys. I usually stab all the fucking squeaky toys.
To get the air out of them.
Yeah, so it doesn't make a noise, but she fucking snuck another one by me.
There really is a murder in your future. You know that, right? At some point, it would make a noise. I stabbed it.
So I'm sorry, go ahead.
I went to this audiologist, and she did a pretty amazing thing.
Yeah.
She put me in a sound booth, and she played a sentence with a headset on.
Yeah.
And she goes, what did you hear? I didn't hear any part of that sentence.
And she just laughed at you.
No, she said.
But aha, you're deaf.
She may have said it. I didn't hear her. So what she then said is, okay, I'm going to tell you what the sentence is about.
She said, I didn't play anything. That's why you did.
I really, all I hear was, blah, 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 blah. That's what I heard.
Right.
But she then said, I'm going to tell you the subject matter.
Yeah.
And played it again.
Yeah.
I heard every word clear as a bell. She did not raise the level. She said, what has happened to you over the years?
Yeah.
Is that your brain is working at a much higher effort level.
Yes.
She goes, it's part of the reason you're, she said this, Robert, you're going to jump on my shit when she said it, but she said it. She said, it's part of the reason you developed such an intelligent, you're so smart, she said.
You edited that. You just edited that.
I don't know exactly what she said. I couldn't hear her, but she said...
She gave you a compliment to ease the fucking pain.
Of being deaf.
Yes.
But what...
So every doctor does that.
But what...
Everybody does that.
Wait a second. There's something else that happened. Your brain fills in what it expects to hear.
Right.
Okay, so... That's why sometimes I'll mishear something because I was on a different wavelength.
Right.
But I heard it crystal clear, but I didn't hear it.
Right.
So she said, that's why. And she told me, and this is true, when I didn't wear hearing aids, when I laid down or stopped talking, I would go to sleep immediately. And she said, that's because your brain is tired. You're working harder to hear these words.
Right.
I think when I was on stage all those years.
That's what people did too. When you started talking, people would actually lie down and go to sleep. Just FYI. When you took your hearing aid out.
Oh, I can't say part and parcel, but you can say FYI. Holy shit, you sprouted a vagina. Just FYI.
This fucking decade.
Oh, FYI. LOL. So anyway.
Finish your story ASAP. Go ahead.
What happened is I think I developed better as a comic and with crowd work because I never heard what people said. But I had to guess what they were on.
That's interesting. First of all, let me just say this. Where's your the chat room? This guy just wrote, "This is terrible."
All right, whatever.
No, not this. Not the podcast. The actual chat room is just a shit idea.
It's not loud. They can't hear you.
They can't hear it.
No.
Okay.
But also, it's the only thing that's going on in this chat room is people saying what their screen names are. You see what their screen name is when they write something.
So nobody can hear. They're supposed to be able to hear us right now.
It's probably better that they can't.
Yeah, well, they will someday.
Maybe they could chat about last week's podcast.
No, they're saying it's built-in microphone. It says it's fucking, it's working, so fuck them. I don't know what you guys want me to tell you. Anyways, I think that... That you say this, that you're actually smarter or become a better comic because you're deaf... I felt the same way, and this is not the same thing, but I think it is, when I thought I shit my pants on stage one night. Because I had to, honest to God, and I know this sounds fucked up.
Hey, absolutely, and I count myself as one of the unfortunate people that now know this.
Because I thought I farted on stage, but I had really bad gas, and I thought I shit my pants. In my head, I went, just shit myself
in front of an audience
10 minutes into an hour set.
Oh,
okay. In front of a packed room.
Oh,
okay. Killing.
I'm sure you were.
Unbelievable set. I'm like having fun. And quiet. I just shit my pants. I slowly backed up, went to the wall, I actually added this into my act. It's just this part. I put the leg up that I thought the shit would dribble down. I put that up on the wall, and I took my hoodie off.
Right.
And I tied it around my waist.
Sure, good plan.
And I stood there for 50 minutes.
Yep.
And I couldn't move because I thought poo might fling out or fly on, you know, some people's faces.
Right.
And I it actually made me a better comic because I had to rely on the jokes.
Yep. And you had to focus beyond belief.
I had to focus.
With the other knowledge of, does it smell? Do people know? Absolutely.
Yeah. So I do agree that you being deaf is very similar to my experience.
I do believe that a lot of deaf people say, I'm glad I didn't shit myself. I think most deaf people think, well, at least I haven't shit myself.
It's fascinating to me.
To hear you on the radio. Everyone that just heard you check out for a second should know you were checking a text message.
That was from my wife, who's actually waiting outside. She didn't want to come in.
She can come in?
It's my house. I'll make that judgment.
Okay.
I'll make that call. You really are just an owner of shit. It's just an owner, dad, cocksucker. You know what I mean? She can come in.
I do own shit.
Hey, you know what? Fuck you. Now she can't. Stay out. How's that? You just made my wife now.
You know what? I got to tell you now. What did you say her first name is? I'm terrible.
Dawn. Not terrible. You're deaf. We just went over that.
Dawn. Okay, good.
Yeah, she can come in. Dawn, you can come in if you can hear this. Anyways, she's not allowed to talk on the podcast, though.
She probably doesn't want to.
She actually doesn't speak.
She doesn't speak?
No, she lost her voice as a young girl.
I could marry that woman. It wouldn't even matter.
Oh, my God. It's weird though. Most people don't know you're fucking deaf.
No.
Most people just think you're a fucking asshole that doesn't listen. Honest to God, I used to get mad at you because I'd be fucking sitting there going, Vinny. And then you wouldn't, and it'd be like, fucking what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then one day you're like, dude, I can't hear.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've secretly hated you.
Well, at least you kept the secret. A lot of people hate me. Just read it. Just let me know.
But dude, people, let's get into that too. You're a comic, dude. You this is the thing. You're a fucking comic, and you own a club.
Right.
So it's weird, man, that you have this, you're going to be fucking hated.
Hated.
You're going to be hated because of the decisions you make for whatever reason for your business.
Yeah.
And your fucking family and your fucking livelihood.
Yep.
But then you're a comic. So you know our secrets, but you know what I mean? So you're like a fucking, you're like the white wizard in fucking Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I mean?
A double agent. I've been called everything. Double dipping.
It's very weird, dude.
But there's this notion. Let me tell you this notion. The notion is that a guy can't do both. And I've proven that wrong.
Hang on. There's my wife. Hi, D. Hi.
These are a couple broads we picked up.
That's
How you doing, girls? Yeah, I'm fine.
This is my daughter, Danielle.
That's his,
And this is my friend, Hannah.
And that's not his friend. That's her friend.
It's my friend, Hannah. So.
I just want to be like, hi.
Like you just did? Anyways. Anyways. don't fuck it the fuck out of here.
It's nice to see you again.
Hi, Mama.
I love what you're doing with your kitchen.
Isn't it great?
It's going to look awesome.
She designed the whole thing.
It looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks good.
It's a very chic look.
Good word. I like that word.
Yeah.
Now you're headed into this fucking century.
Yeah, it's a very good thing.
So here's the thing. Hang on. Hey, can you bring them downstairs? fucking. You got to love women, though. Women are the best.
Your wife. How nice is your wife? She's just going to adopt this kid.
Your daughter. First of all, your daughter's alternative comedy sense of humor is awesome.
Yeah, she's got a great sense of humor.
She goes, I feel like I'm missing all the funny. And then she goes, I already felt that way.
Oh, that's great. Guys, like them. Danielle wrote one of my favorite jokes of all time.
Don't tell that. Don't say that.
Oh, she's a great writer. Great writer.
She wrote one of your jokes?
No, I don't do the joke. She wrote a joke that I love.
Oh, okay. What is it?
The joke is that she said that... I gotta remember how to phrase it. She said that black people are not, they're bigoted.
Yeah.
Because colored people is an inappropriate use. You can't say colored people, but they have the NAACP and the CP stands for colored people.
Right.
And she goes, I think the colored people should be forced to change that to the African American.
Right.
But they'll never do it because that's the NAAA, and that just spells nah. Which I like.
Funny.
I like
that's
it.
That's actually funny.
Yeah, it's a good joke. So back to being on both sides of it.
Have you talked about this before?
Not on a podcast.
You've never done it.
No.
No one's ever talked to you. I mean, because I don't want to, I hate, there's one thing I hate is when, you know, I hate rehashing shit.
No.
I mean, I'd rather just fucking
And this
happen.
Is a good topic because here's the thing. I'll tell you something funny.
Yeah.
I loved Patrice.
Right.
And two things happened. You know, Patrice used to tell me all the time, just be a club owner. Just be a club owner.
Right.
And he would say to me, you're not funny, Vinny. And he really trashed me.
Right.
To me.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't think he ever trashed me to anybody else.
No,
he was Patrice being Patrice.
No, Patrice, look, Patrice, I mean, I think the guys that all of us would, that's the one good thing about us, that fans kind of take and abuse. We trash each other through our faces.
Right.
If you stink, you stink. We tell you to your face.
Yeah.
But that's because people are friends in
Absolutely.
Some way. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
If you don't like somebody, you don't really do that. You will, but it's in a fucked up way. But I hear you saying. Go ahead.
And with Patrice, and now Patrice and I, the last time he was in the club, it was right before he passed. And it's really hard for me because... We had a really interesting conversation. And
what was it?
Well, Patrice was talking about not wanting to perform anymore and get out of performing and to do a production. And he was talking about the audience and the business and the business eating him alive and not being free to say what he wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
And that the audience was, he loved the audience, but it was a very odd thing. He was talking about the audience draining him. and wanting things from him mm-hmm. beyond the performance.
Yeah.
And in the conversation, I said to him, Patrice, you should really do a podcast. And I already knew what I was going to do one. I said, listen, Patrice, you should be doing a podcast because you can say whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nobody that can stop you. And if it gets big enough, you can monetize it.
Yeah.
And be paid for your art.
Mm-hmm.
So I convinced him to come do a podcast on Thursdays with me. Mm-hmm. And Patrice is going to come down every Thursday and do the live podcast, which would have been fun because we had a lot of great conversations. We're very different politically. And
mm-hmm.
But anyway, so it was a really difficult conversation because all weekend long, I kept trying to talk to him about how great he was and to not quit, but to find another way to monetize what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because listen, we all do it for the art. I mean, I know when you walk on stage, you want to be funny. Mm-hmm. And if you could walk on stage and make $5 million but not be funny, you wouldn't do that necessarily. Unless there would be a break away there for you.
But lower that to $1,000.
I'm sorry?
Lower that to $1,000.
Well, no, you know what I mean, though.
Yeah. There'd be $5 million. You're not gonna... I would tell everybody to go fuck themselves.
Okay.
Pay this place off.
There's a number. There's a number.
It's 5 million.
Yeah, 5 million is the number. So one of the things Patrice said that night, I told him a story about, I was on the phone with him one day.
Yeah.
And I was in my office. And everything was racial between Patrice and I. Like, you're a white dude, you don't get it. Mm-hmm. He came to my Super Bowl party, told me there's no black people here. I said, Patrice, there's you and Keith.
Right.
And he goes, yeah, just two. I'm like, okay.
What the fuck Super Bowl party did you have without me?
I've invited everybody to my party.
I wasn't invited.
Well, I'll tell you what. This year, yeah. I am telling you, bring your
wife. I can't make it.
You fucking go ahead. Jerk off. So, but anyway, I generally don't invite a lot of comics anyway because it wasn't that. It's a family party.
Right.
You would actually fit in very well.
Right, right.
Because
right.
you have a life.
Right.
So anyway.
I want to get into that too, but you said that a couple times already. I want to get into that.
We will get into it.
But go ahead. No, don't tell me we'll get into it. I said we're going to get into it. It's my fucking podcast, you fucking control freak. Go ahead.
So I was on the phone with Patrice, and he's railing me about race. And I looked up at the clock, and it was 3:01.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, I fell asleep. I looked up. It was 3:14. And Patrice did not stop. He didn't know I fell asleep.
Yeah.
The man just kept yeah. So... The last time I was in the club.
It's happened to me. That's happened to me 5 times.
Oh, yeah. Well, I told him a story.
Yeah.
And all weekend long, he was happy, but in the dumps, he was talking about my mother because he was close to my mother. And he laughed as hard as he did all weekend long. And he grabbed me and he gave me a big hug. And he goes, you know, V, I got to tell you something. He goes, I'm always busting your balls. He goes, you're a good comic.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like being anointed
mm-hmm.
because it was Patrice.
Right.
And then when he had the stroke,
mm-hmm.
I had a really difficult time with it because I knew it wasn't going to end good. My dad died from a stroke. And I had a dream a week after that that he came to me and he was trying to communicate with me and he couldn't.
Mm.
And I really just, I'm not a crier. And that really just got to me because it was Patrice and because of who he, more than would normally, because normally I can deal with it. I've lost both my parents. I've lost friends, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, so back to the comic club thing, you know, hearing that from Patrice and knowing that I know you think I'm funny. I know, you know, Norton Look, has told me I'm funny. So there's the guys that I respect.
There's guys.
Respect
I'm going to, I'll tell you this. I'll be upfront with you. I'll say it and I'll stand by it. First of all, let's just analyze what Patrice said to you. He said that you were good.
Right.
Not great. not really good. Just good. So I will...
It's fucking hysterical.
I will agree.
That you're good. Listen, if someone has to be on stage and it's got to be you, the audience isn't going to run out.
Look, no, man. I've seen... The thing you get... The reason why is you get... The club owner comic stigma, because a lot of guys go up and they do that jokey joke shit. Well, it's back. It's from the 80s in the early 90s. It's from when club owners, comics said fuck it and became club owners.
Yeah.
You were a guy. You're a businessman that became a club owner and then became a comic.
Well, you know, I became a club owner, right?
You were doing comedy.
But I was doing comedy, but I got blackballed out of comedy.
Because you sucked.
No.
I'm kidding.
that came much later. Esty did that. No, what happened is I was doing an open mic at Rascals.
Yeah.
Now, the first time I went on stage, I was probably 29. Mm-hmm. And, or thereabouts, something right. of that age. And my first night on stage, I killed. I didn't have anything prepared, and I killed.
Right.
And I thought to myself, well, this is going to be easy.
Yeah.
And so I spent the whole week writing material. Now, the next time I was on stage at the same open mic a week later, I was so bad they turned the sound and lights and stage, everything off at one time.
And the
literally to end my set, which at that moment I said, I quit comedy.
Right.
Now, Paul Venier, who was emceeing it, said to me, listen, no, you don't quit. That's last week was the anomaly. This week is what should have happened. Last week when you mm-hmm. killed, that was weird.
Right.
Tonight, no, that's what happens.
That happens a lot, dude. I mean, I remember when I first got on stage, too, I think the excitement, the newness, there's something about that that is like, what the fuck? And then the next week, the reality hits and you try. The first week, you don't try. And your natural instinct,
yep.
what you later will become.
Yep.
Actually comes out.
I 100%
out.
Agree.
Yeah, and then the next week you're like, I gotta do it again. And when you try, it fucking blows.
Robert, I had rigged up for my second performance ever. I never told this story to anybody. I rigged up two water squeeze bottles.
Yeah.
And I put tubing, one to my groin and two to my armpits. And the joke was, I was gonna say, I'm not nervous, and squeeze them and you would see the water stain, and it looked like I peed my pants.
I want to shut the mics off and shut the lights out right
now.
No,
you don't. You want to hear this, because here's what happened. So I wore the wrong kind of pants. When I squeezed the tubes, water just shot down into my socks. So I did the joke and squeezed the water, and then I paused for the laugh and looked down, and no one knew what happened. And my arms didn't work. It was just the most uncomfortable. Because then I'm like, oh, fuck, that was my joke. So not only did they not laugh, I just have wet socks.
Can I tell you, though? I used to have, when I first started, I had buck teeth. I had plastic buck teeth.
Oh.
And I used to do, I would do, it was like literally 10 minutes in my act. 8 to 10 minutes.
That's
and I used to do a goofy vampire.
Sure.
Duh. I used to go, you should use these and go into a hardware store. Is anybody got a file?
Yeah, it's awful.
I would just go on and on. And one night I forgot them. And that was my act.
Yeah.
I tried to make white buck teeth out of like a paper plate. And they just got wet and just became a ball of fucking
a
wet
ball
paper.
Of cardboard.
It was the worst. And that's when I learned I actually gotta write fucking jokes that fucking night.
And you're right. When you become really good.
Right.
Now, I just did a set before I came here.
You did? Where?
At the club.
At your club.
And what I did is I went up to get good. I think you have to really, I play with my cadence. I'll say, okay, I'm not going to be animated. I'm going to be very quiet. So tonight I did a very quiet set and all new shit. I forced myself to just go up and do new material. And tonight I just riffed a little bit on Christmas and what a colossal pain in the ass Christmas is. And the set went very well. But it's because you're doing that real moment, which you can't do when you're on time three. Third time you're on stage, you can't have that real moment necessarily.
Why?
Because you're too nervous on the third time. The first time, I agree with you. You go up and I'm not trying. Yeah. Once you're trying.
Yeah, you're fucked.
You're screwed.
It's almost like, I mean, it happens in podcasts a lot too.
Yeah.
People will come on and do great on the podcast and you're like, holy shit, dude, come back. And the next time they try and it's like, what happened? It's like you really just gotta fucking, and then that's what happens on stage after time and time. You can finally become, I think when a comic finds their voice, when a comic hits their rhythm, all that horse shit, it's just a comic not caring anymore and taking that secret self. The guy in the middle of the night when they think of something funny, I should have wrote that down. When you're taking a piss, that's fucking funny. Or when you're with your chick or your friend and you go blah, blah, blah. That guy on stage.
You know,
and you're not thinking about the other comics. Yeah. You're not thinking about the club owner. You're not thinking about the fans, how many tickets you sold, how much money you made. You're just thinking about, I want to talk about this and my way. And that's when you actually click.
And when you find that comfort level
right.
across your career, that's when you really hit a stride. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Now, I was always nervous on an audition. You go on there, you get nervous on an audition.
Yeah, because you stink at acting.
Actually, I'm a pretty good actor.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Let's do a scene right now.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to show you something.
I want to do a scene real quick. Ready? You're just a guy. You're just a guy in an elevator. I step in and just go with what I do. Hey, how you doing, man? Hi, how are you?
I don't talk to strangers.
Why?
That's what I do in elevators.
I'm sorry. See, you stink. No.
Because what I wanted to do with you
what?
Is just fuck around. When I say I'm a good actor,
yes,
I know how to make choices. I'm not De Niro.
Right.
Okay.
I didn't like your choice you made in the elevator. That was mean. And that stopped the scene. I didn't like that.
Okay. No, but what I
even
saw,
though that's what you'd really do if a guy just said, "Hey, how you doing?" You'd
no,
really,
actually, I would be. The problem for me is I'm a people person. I'm the guy stepping in the elevator, going, "Hey, man, what's up? I'm Vinny. What are you?" And I'll chat up anybody. But I watched Brewer do an audition. We were out in L.A.
Yeah.
2 years ago,
yeah.
And we were just doing the club. I was opening for him,
mm-hmm.
And he goes, "Hey, I got an audition at Disney. You want to go?"
Right.
So I'm like, "Yeah, I'll go to that." So it was a animated, so he's going to do a voice.
Yeah.
But I'd never been to this level of an audition. Because this level of audition was the guy making it, the producer, the writer, in a sound booth with a glass wall,
yeah.
And the director, and, you know, and the decision makers. So Burr goes in, he's got the sides, and he walked in. To say he was casual is, he walked in. Like if he walked in here and said, "Hey, Robert, what are you doing?"
Right.
Like he just didn't give a shit
yeah.
who he was talking to. Goes into the booth, blows the lines out. Now in the room, I'm in the other side of the glass wall.
Yeah.
And everybody in there is cracking up.
Right.
And some girl who's in there goes, "Oh my God, will he read for my project? Do you think he'll read for my project?" And the guy goes, "Well, ask him." And they go in. I see them talking. The mic's off. And Brewer's like, "Yeah, yeah, go get your shit." And she comes back with some other lines. He had never seen the lines before. He looks at him, shakes his head yes, blows the lines out,
yeah.
murders it. They say, "Well, can you do it this way?" Murders it again.
Yeah.
"Can you do this way?" The whole thing lasts 15 minutes. He walks out of the room, "Hey, man, thanks a lot. Everybody, yeah, good seeing you. We get in the car. We're 20 minutes outside the studio. The phone rings. "Cancel your flight. You're doing both jobs this week."
Right.
Okay. Now I said to him, I go, "Holy shit." I go, "How were you at that comfort level? How did you get to that comfort level where you just didn't give a shit about Disney? You're in the Disney campus. Have you ever been in the Disney campus?"
Yeah, but I mean, Vinny.
But you know what he said to me?
What?
This is what he said.
Oh, this is the fucking longest story for this, and I almost fucked it up. Go ahead.
He just looked at me and goes, "Vinny, it doesn't give a shit what I do. I'm just being myself. If they want me, they want me. If they don't, they don't. It has nothing to do with what I do." He goes, "I could get this job because my voice is right, because it's wrong."
Can I just say something about you right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
You're a storyteller.
I love something.
But in life,
yeah.
You love fucking...
Love them.
That fucking beginning, middle, end horse... That fucking lifetime story you just told on my podcast really makes me sick.
Was it that bad?
Because it doesn't... Well, here it is. I don't need to hear a fucking Brewer story. You have 9 stories like that. I have fucking 9...
But Brewer taught me to not give a shit. That's my point.
That was fucking a week ago, for God's sakes. Come on, you knew that. You knew that from back in the day.
I didn't care.
We all know not to give a fuck. It's the decision. Don't think for a second. There's times where Brewer does give a fuck.
I'm sure he does.
So it's just at that moment... That it's like whatever that was, voiceover work or whatever the job. I don't give a fuck. I've done a million. But when it comes time to book that fucking Steven Spielberg, maybe an Oscar, holy shit, people give a fuck. It's our decision.
I'm going to tell you something. I don't think I'll give a fuck anymore.
It's our decision to make. That's good if you don't.
I don't think I do.
It's our decision to make. But also what helps you not give a fuck, okay? And I've talked to Patrice about this, is the fucking scratch gut. Okay, where you are financially. If you got money to pay your bills and you don't have to worry about next month's rent, like a lot of us do, you don't give a fuck because you, I don't need you.
But let me tell you something else that helps you not give a fuck.
Yeah.
When your wife walks in the door and you're obviously happy.
Right, yes.
Okay, so, you know,
does help you. You're right. You're absolutely, your life, and this goes back to what you say, you've said a couple times is, your life. You have a life. You've said that to me. You have a life. So I agree with you, man. You brought that up a couple of times. People forget. And I didn't have a life for around maybe 12 years of this business.
Right.
Maybe longer. Mm-hmm. Where I fuck life. I was married to comedy. I was married to the road. I was married to doing, making people laugh.
Right.
That's all I gave a fuck about, as becoming funnier and successful. And then all of a sudden I woke up one day and I almost lost it all. It almost all went away. And all I would have been left with was this fucking business. And I made a choice. You know what? I'm gonna go be happy.
Yeah.
In life. And that's the day I became funny. That's when I started Absolutely. Being funny.
Well, you know, I just went out and we had meetings. We were pitching a show and we had meetings.
Who's we?
Well, Brewer and I produced a show now.
What
and,
is it?
Well, this one's a reality show about my life.
Really?
Yeah.
What's it called?
It's called The Brands of Comedy. And it's good. It's very good. It's got great reception.
You don't make me sick.
That I'm so confident.
No, that I like that. That's stupid. You actually, you understand there's only certain people's names. Like my name stinks because you can't do anything. I'm like Dane Cook. What a fucking name.
Yeah, it's a great name.
What a fuck. Dane Cook. Cooking with Dane.
Yeah.
Cooking comma. There's so many fuck DC. Fucking. Yeah. And you're fucking Vinny Brand. That should not make sense, but all of a sudden the brands
of comedy.
Oh, motherfucker.
But I'll take them out. Well, we'll get to that in a minute.
It's a good name.
You're going to need me on another couple podcasts. But the thing is that in pitching this show, yeah. I'm sitting there with these executives, and they're the decision makers. Right. Levity's involved, mm-hmm. E1's involved, mm-hmm. William Morris Endeavor's involved. Mm-hmm. We're in with the right people.
Right.
And one guy said to me, what do you want out of the show? I said, listen, I'll tell you something. The show doesn't have anything for me. Just right. something I'm doing now. I go, I want to do business with you. I really do. I go, but I gotta be very honest with you. If my phone rings, it's my wife and she needs to talk to me, I'm gonna walk out that door and I'm not gonna look back. And the guy's like, really? You would say, I go, listen, man, I really want you to whip your checkbook out. But I'm telling you right now, yeah. if that phone rings, it's my wife, I'm walking out. It's great meeting you. And I still want to do it. But that's what's important to me.
Right.
And after the meeting, the guy goes, hey, man, because I've never had anyone talk to me like that.
Right.
And I was like, great. He goes, I hope we can do some work together. Now, who knows? He may not buy the show. But
I thought you sold the show.
No, we haven't sold it yet.
You're producing it with
Brewer. We've produced it and we're pitching it.
Did you already film it?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So what is the show about? Tell me what the show is about.
It's just about me being a comic, owning a club. You know, my life's kind of crazy. I'm on the board of education. I coach 2 soccer teams. Yeah. I have sheep and goats. I have a farm.
Yeah.
You know, I'm completely overdedicated to my family.
Right.
And I love this career. And, I know people.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you do drugs?
No.
Are you on anything?
Mm-mm.
This is you.
Yeah.
All the time.
All the time. I've never...
That fucking intense eyeball thing you have
yeah.
is you.
That's me. I've never done a drug in my entire life.
All right. I'm just asking you. No. Because you have that fucking... I don't know what to say. Entrepreneur fucking energy. That you know what I mean? That guy for $50, you two can flip a house and fuck... You know what I mean? You've got that fucking, I'm going to make millions out of nothing yeah. energy that I don't see you taking naps.
I don't take a lot of naps, but I got to tell you something
sick.
Too. This is the thing. It's now I feel more empowered now
right.
in my life than ever because the walls have been taken away. The keys. Listen, you're doing a podcast
yeah.
that nobody at NBC or CBS or anyone else can say, no, Robert didn't fit our, no. They yeah. can't stop you.
Well, I actually said this 2 years ago. Me, Billy Burr, and Joe DeRosa were talking, and we were having it's the same shit. It's like, you know, look, you want to be accepted into the inner circle, of
sure,
course.
Of course you do.
You want the fucking NBCs and the CBS and the fucking, yeah. you know, the Levities and the CAAs and all. Of course you do.
Of course.
But it usually happens when you don't want it. When you don't,
yeah.
Well, not that you don't want it, when you don't give a fuck about it.
Yeah.
When I stopped... When I told Matt Frost, I don't want to audition for any more festivals. I'm done being rejected. The next year, I got every single festival.
Yeah.
Literally, in a row. Like, no, boom, 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 boom.
No is the most powerful word because you say, you know, I got my shit. If you want it,
right.
offer to me. Don't ask me to show you my wares. You know who the hell I am.
But I didn't hate... This is the other thing, too.
I don't hate them.
The other corner, the other side of it, some people hate them. Some people hate the business. Some people get bitter and fuck them. And, you know, like, I never hated the festivals.
No.
Now that I like Montreal Festival, just for I am good friends with a lot of people that run that festival. I really give a shit about people
yes.
behind the scenes.
Yep.
And
you like the people.
If they never pick me again, I don't care. But if, you know, if they do, that's great. But I really care about them. And I've had the best time. Like last festival was fucking great. And like I said this to Burr, like I was saying, 2 years ago, it was like, why? I was sitting there with Joe talking about some funny shit. I said, this is our movie. And I said, this is it. Why go try to sell it to somebody? Why go try to pitch it to somebody? Why go on an audition? Why go on a fucking audition and try to book a role that 99.9% I'm not going to get?
Right.
Because somebody famous wants it. let's just go make this. Let's spend our money, not on video games, not on fucking bullshit. Let's take a few grand each and make this movie. And we fucking did. And then it went into fucking the festivals.
I've not seen the movie. I've heard it's good.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It's a 15-minute short. Tribeca loved it, picked it up, it killed. That's why I have that fucking... That's why I'm in the Writers Guild. Because that little fucking thought, and we didn't say, fuck it, or maybe next... We just went and did it, and then we kept doing it. We kept doing the next step and the next step and the next step and kept doing that. We got a fucking book deal coming out with Simon & Schuster for that little thought.
Now, do you have a copy? Can I take a copy home and watch it?
What? The movie?
Your movie.
I'll get you the link. There's a link.
I love it. Yeah. Hey, here's the thing, too. That now, 15 years ago, that wasn't doable for a lot of other reasons. Because the technology, because you had to develop film, because some guy had to sit there and slice and cut. And yeah. some little nerdy guy in a room going...
Well, you had to get a fucking... You had to rent the $500,000 camera.
Exactly.
A Panavision.
And you can shoot it now on a goddamn flip camera and it'll look pretty good.
I'll tell you what. What are they? The 5Ds? Canon 5Ds? Is that what they're called?
Great camera, yeah.
No joke. No fucking joke. I had, Jim Serpico from Apostle. He came to one of my shows with his fucking 5D. We thought of a show the night before at a steakhouse. The next day we shot it.
Absolutely. Did you light it?
We didn't need to.
You didn't need to light it.
It was a fucking, it's a talk show out of the back of a U-Haul truck. And we literally just pull up to star anywhere. Pull up, open the back, and we interview fucking everyday people.
Robert, I have had this idea forever, but I'm going to tell you something a little bit different, a little twist. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to do it with you if you're already doing it. I don't want to
horn it. It's already done, but go ahead.
Well, are you doing it as a regular thing?
Yeah.
Oh, let me tell you. I'd love to be a guest someday.
U-Haul, yeah.
No, I'm not doing the U-Haul. What I was going to do is the roving talk show. Right. And what I wanted to do is, for example, for musical guests, I wanted to go into the subway.
Right.
And, okay, there's a guy playing the flute.
Right.
He's my musical guest.
We actually pull up. We actually pull up to the house. Like the last episode, we pulled up to the house of the band and they came out and did the fucking show on the back of near the U-Haul.
It's great.
And then we interviewed them on the show, a regular show. And then we actually did comedy. So I'll definitely love to have you.
I'd love
if you want to do that.
I'd love to.
We had a Dan Soda. We pulled up right into a Dunkin' Donuts. There was like 10 people in the crowd from Dunkin' Donuts, an entire place. And he did 5 minutes stand-up right there.
It's great.
Right now on the truck, 5 minutes stand-up, killed it for 5 minutes, and then we did the interview on the show, did trivia. There was an audience there, people just walking by. There was a traffic jam behind him. Crazy shit.
But that's more entertaining than something that got scrubbed by whoever's people. Scrubbed meaning, sanitized and washed, and, you can't do that joke, and you can't do this.
Right.
Yeah.
You can do it. I keep it more clean than I do this podcast because I do want fucking U-Haul is giving us free trucks.
Great.
They're a great company. And, other companies, we pull up to a Dunkin' Donuts. We get Dunkin' Donuts to sponsor it. We could pull up. There was a UPS truck drove by. I mean, literally, the sponsorship is endless on this fucking show.
It's unreal.
But we pull up anywhere and interview anybody anytime. And we had a doctor on the show who was an ex-gang member. We had these chicks at Starbucks.
See, to me, that show is more interesting than me listening to James Franco talk about how he got into the character of the guy at 127 hours. Fuck not that James Franco isn't interesting, I'm sure he is.
Right.
But, okay, they've been doing that forever. You can find Jimmy Stewart talking about getting into character with Johnny Carson. Yeah. And now I've heard every douchebag talk about getting into character.
But here's the thing is that, I think around maybe 10 years ago, you sat around and waited for somebody to give you something.
Right.
When somebody tapped you on the shoulder and said, you kid. And then when it didn't happen to guys like you or me or whatever, we just faded off into the distance.
Disappear.
Doesn't fuck that.
Absolutely.
Now we get to fucking just do it ourselves.
And you know what's funny, Robert, is that the walls are coming down faster now.
Right.
Because, listen, you ask my daughter. I bet you my daughter doesn't watch much television. My daughter's watching whatever she watches on her MacBook.
Right.
Okay. So for her, I bet she doesn't watch Modern Family, which is a good show. It's a funny show.
Yeah.
But she probably doesn't watch it because for her, why would I sit down and watch TV? I'm going to watch what I want to watch when I want to watch it. Right. I want to see a guy getting hit in the balls with a sledgehammer on YouTube.
Right.
So the walls are coming down faster all the time. And now it's going to be the race to who can produce and who has the personality to draw people and entertain them. And this is what we've been doing for 20 years. So I think it's guys like us. And I don't mind telling people, look, you know what? When I walk on stage, I don't worry about whether you're going to be entertained. I know I'm going to entertain you.
Right.
That's the furthest thing from my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's weird. I think one thing that fame does give you is it gives you true fans of your comedy. And I was talking to Billy Gardell about this too, because he kind of popped.
Oh yeah,
he was, you know, just a guy like one of us, and then got that fucking boom, that break.
Huge.
I think he said he was weeks away
from quitting.
Weeks away from quitting.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was weeks. He had a gig. His friend had a radio show in Pittsburgh, and they offered him a spot on the show. Just he could do his comedy, do the show, and just live life. Just live fucking life.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's what he fucking did. He was going to do that. And then boom, just here you go, dude. And now all of a sudden he's showing up at shows and they're fucking sold out with people, 100% people to see him.
Oh,
that's why I love clubs that don't give tickets out.
Oh yeah.
That don't do, you know, that's why I love doing shows at the Factory. You give some tickets out, but
very few.
Right. But you sell fucking tickets.
Yeah.
So people that come there either love your club and know what to expect and know how to act,
yeah,
or they love the comic that's there,
yep,
and want to see him.
Yep.
You know, you don't really have troublemakers at your club.
No.
No.
In fact, the last troublemaker we had, kind of funny, was it was at the Wayans Brothers show.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but it was a 72-year-old white drunk grandmother.
Really?
And I forget which guy was on stage. It was one of the black guys. And
one of the black brothers.
Yeah, one of the black. But he was great because we had to call the cops. I mean, right, the ordeal to get this, which was so drunk, she had to be carried out by the cops.
Right.
The drunk grandson took a swing at me. It was a real mess.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And getting out of the room, he stayed on stage the whole time. It took probably 45 minutes. He narrated the whole fight. And then he went right back into his act and murdered it.
Right.
They're very nice. Very funny guys and very nice guys.
The Wayans Brothers are nice guys.
It's
a little annoying that, you know, I mean, look, you would do the same thing. Is just keep passing it on and passing it on.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? People get annoyed at, dude, fucking how many Wayans Brothers? What are you going to do? Why would you not want your brother and your other brother and your other fucking
cousin?
And
they're all talented.
Well, let's not. I mean.
No, they are. You know, I'll tell you something. They write those movies. And listen, as stand-ups, those two guys that just started.
They're workers.
They're very hard workers.
They're fucking workers. That's one thing that I realized in the last,
yeah,
in the last 3 years. Just go to work. Write a script.
Well, these guys did every press.
Write a fucking script.
Absolutely.
Write a TV show.
Yep.
If it fails, write another one.
Yep.
Film something. Keep doing it. Do a podcast. If it fails, keep doing it.
Yep.
Just keep doing it. Just work. If you do the work, if you keep your fucking head down,
yeah,
fuck your agent and they suck, and your manager and they don't get you what you want. You do the work and you'll get something from it.
I agree. Yeah. You know, it's funny, Robert. I did a comic sale, which we taped and filmed and shot, and it's
what
great.
What is that?
That's a storytelling show. And I was
supposed to do that.
Yes, you were.
I fucking had to bail. What happened? I forget. Something came. Oh, my grandfather.
Yes, that's right.
My grandfather passed away.
But you know who ended up doing that show with us?
Shit year. What a fucking shit year it's, dude. I'm so sick of people fucking dying. DiStefano, Geraldo, my grandfather, Patrice. Fucking A.
Well, you know who did? Geraldo filled in for...
I filled in for him the next week. I was literally there the week after Geraldo at your club was the last time I was there.
Yeah.
I was there the week, and it was
That's
fucking...
Right. Well, that night, well, two things. Geraldo filled in for a comic sale. Brewer had a death in his family. It was me, Brewer, and Brandon down in Philly,
mm-hmm,
doing a comic sale. Brewer called me and said, listen, man, my uncle just passed away. I can't come tonight. So we called. Tom Papa couldn't do it. We called a bunch of people. Geraldo said, listen, I'll come do the show.
Mm-hmm.
He was very skeptical coming down. This is really funny because... He went on stage and treated it for the first 10 minutes like tough crowd. And you know how crazy Kevin Brennan is.
Yeah.
Kevin Brennan's yelling, it's not tough crowd.
Okay.
Yeah, it's great. And Brennan's hysterical. So Geraldo then settled down and started telling stories and not shitting on other guys while they were telling their stories. So he got it. So at the end of it, Geraldo says, hey, he goes, it took me coming to get it. He goes, that's a really fun show to do. Right. I can't wait to do another one. But Brennan was still pissed off that he had tough crowded it for the first 10 minutes.
Really?
And Brennan looked at him, you know how serious Kevin can be. And he goes, you're not doing another one. Which was, you know, hysterically funny. But Geraldo filled in, loved the show, because this show is different than most storytelling shows. This show, you go up, you do 10 minutes of stand-up, mm-hmm. everyone does their 10 minutes, and then you get back up and you tell each other, just like we're hanging right now, right. and you're going to learn some shit about me, and I'm going to tell you some stories. With the audience, it becomes very, very fun to do.
Right.
So I shot that show. I'm pitching that show. I shot the reality show. I'm pitching that. I'm going to shoot another show in January
right.
because the walls are down. I can go produce more.
You take the money you have
yeah.
that you make
and
you can actually produce shit.
Absolutely.
And just sell it and get people to. And if it doesn't work, just keep doing it.
And you know what happens too is it sooner or later someone says, hey, I got to be in business with that guy. Because that guy's going to hit, or he's energetic, or he's doing the work.
Well, here's the thing. It's even like with this podcast is that, you know, thank God that the people who fucking listen to this thing.
Yeah.
There's thousands of people. It went from hundreds to thousands.
It's great. And it'll go from thousands to more.
It's not going to go to millions.
Robert, it very well may.
Well, here's the deal. Is that now I can sit here and have people on and talk about whatever I want.
Yep.
And the people that download this thing every Monday,
yep.
you know, you can promote your own shit now. And
yep.
The people are fans of mine and the people that I have on here.
Yeah.
So the power isn't in someone else's hand who's making the money. It's in my hands and my fans' hands. So as long as they keep listening, as long as they keep spreading the fucking word. And there's people that donate to this thing. All this technology, all this shit is all bought from fans. Hang on one sec, all right?
Yeah.
Shh. Come on in. Actually, Jim Norton stopped by.
Who?
Jim Norton stopped by. Hey, buddy. Jim Norton. Oh,
Jim Norton.
Shit. What's up, man? Oh, Jesus. That's my dog. Oh, look at that! My dog, it's Kelby.
Shh.
Please pick him up. My dog's that one. The boy dog who doesn't like anybody. Listen to him.
I have four dogs.
He fucking loves Jim. Look at him.
Yeah.
Because they both, when you wet him, they look the same.
It looks good in the kitchen.
How great is the kitchen?
Looks good.
Huh?
I bought some frozen yogurt.
Ooh.
A marshmallow.
Ooh.
Marshmallow peanut butter for the guys.
Oh my God, look at you. That's like a real normal thing to do.
I know.
I gotta get spoons.
Just stop
do you
by.
Have spoons?
Yeah, I missed Bob.
Oh.
But we need a.
Bowls?
Yeah.
Bowls? I'll get bowls. Here, sit here and talk to Vinny.
Hold on a second. I have to pee badly. Where's Dawn?
All right, you know where Dawn is. She's out with Vinny's daughter and Vinny's friend.
Vinny's friend. My friend is here, Jim.
Yeah, he has a fucking 20-year-old girlfriend that he hangs out with. What's up?
Here's the other thing I'll tell you. Is it, the other thing that the podcast does for you
yes.
is it lets the marketplace decide on what you really are. Don't fucking do it, Norton.
He was just making it.
I know he's such an asshole.
Norton's disgusted.
He
face
did. He. I know. I'm done now. I'm out. Because Norton's here. I'm out.
No. Fuck you.
I love
great.
Norton.
I
worked with Norton. Back when Norton really stunk. So
really?
I have the secrets.
Don't turn this into Tough Crowd. Don't
it. Listen to me.
Listen.
Very few people have climbed to that level of success with such mediocre talent. he's funny as shit.
Well, here's the thing is that the group that I came up with, came in just behind, was Norton, Burr, Patrice.
Norton was already big?
Well, no, but Norton and Patrice and Burr and well, I mean, Voss was already doing it. Keith was already doing it. I think Billy, Patrice, and Norton were kind of like at the same level when I came to New York. I came to New York like a year or a year and a half later.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I was like the little kid in the group. I remember Voss didn't accept me. Voss didn't like me. We used to always fuck with me, but I didn't really take a shit. We almost went at it one night, and he flipped chicken wings on my lap at the cellar. And we were literally going to fucking beat the shit out, like fight. And it was just like, what are we doing? What's wrong? And we've been friends ever since.
Yeah, he's good, yeah.
But until then, he wouldn't like let me in the fucking inner circle bullshit. But I missed, you know what? I missed, there's one thing that we used to have. We used to hang out all the time.
Yeah.
Before, when we were all middlers.
Yep.
When we didn't headline and we weren't all over the fucking country or trying to make a fucking nickel to pay our mortgages, which God bless us, we all have.
How amazing is it that you took some jokes and turned it into a mortgage?
It's fucking crazy.
It's a great country.
It's nuts. But it's...
They're not doing it in Bosnia.
I have fucking missed those days. Hang on one second. I'm going to switch everything up, guys. I'm going to stop this. I'm going to switch it up so Norton can have a microphone and yap.
Did you stop into
Hang on. All right. So Jim Norton has joined the fucking podcast with ice cream and farts.
No, it wasn't ice cream. It was frozen yogurt and a nice gasser to start things off with.
Ooh, it was terrible.
It really was quite an awful thing. You came in, you sat down, you just destroyed Robert's kitchen.
Yeah. One of these tastes, he brought yogurt, frozen yogurt, but one of them tastes medicinal.
Oh. No, peanut butter. Mm. It's good.
One of them.
What is that, whipped cream on there?
Mm. No, frozen yogurt, marshmallow. Mm.
It's really good, Jim.
Yeah.
Oh, it's actually the containers that we're eating out of.
Yeah.
Was what I used to.
Put Kelby's shit in?
When I had to clean up my bladder, my bag, my colostomy bag.
Oh, cool.
We would put it in this. So
maybe that's the medicinal thing we're getting.
Anyways, I was talking to. Talking to Vinny about actually having a life. You're one of the guys, Jim, who, I mean, you have a life, but you're, I mean, it's not the stereotypical life. Like, you have a family, I have a wife, I go on vacation, Jim, go to fucking your farm with goats.
Jim has a bevy of prostitutes.
I know, it's so depressing.
It's like, yeah, but dude, I mean, I actually thought about you this week, dude, when I was away. I'm sitting there with Dawn. We're doing all this fucking regular couple shit, you know, going out to eat and fucking, you know, putting on your polo shirt and your fucking Dockers.
Oh, you dropped again.
No, I didn't. I swear to you.
That's just hanging in there?
Well, it's a dog.
Oh, God.
I would tell you.
That actually fucking...
You would tell me. That's true. Your dog stinks.
Your gassers are terrible, brother.
Thank you.
Really? All right. Well, that's
cool. Okay.
Are you dating anybody now? You're dating.
You can see the fucking rainbow and anything.
I'm single.
But yeah, but do you want a chick? Do you want to go on vacation? Like, this is what I was just talking to him about. I miss when we were all middle X. I miss when we all used to go out to dinner every night and fucking we'd hang down the cellar or the Boston. We'd go away on vacation together. Because we can't now because you're ahead. We're all
where are you going for Christmas? I have nowhere to go for Christmas.
You're kidding me.
No.
I'm going to Boston.
Fuck.
Why?
I'm trying to find something to do for Christmas.
You can come to my house.
Yeah, well, I have no one to see. My family, but they're South Jersey, like way down.
Not that far down.
Dude, so I'm going to Boston. My family's in Boston.
For how long?
you make me want to come back the next day. I'm going down.
So you're
going
to go to Boston,
Monday.
But you won't go to South Jersey? It doesn't make any sense.
I'm not going to Boston. I'm wondering how long he's home for.
Oh, you can definitely... Listen, I'm being very serious. You can come to my house for Christmas. And we have a nice Christmas. We have a lot of people over. It's normal. I mean, it's just a fun thing.
Well, you want to come to my family's for Christmas in Boston?
Nah, it's too far to go. If I'm going to go that far, I might as well see my family.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, how far is your family? Like 2 hours, an hour?
Half.
Two and a half?
Traffic.
What traffic? It's on Christmas. There's
That's
no
what
traffic.
I'm saying.
There's no traffic.
Oh.
Do you not want to go home and see your family?
I just don't want to drive.
Is that really it?
Yeah.
2.5 hours, you don't want to drive?
Right. I'm not going to helicopter back. I got to drive back, too.
Can you not fucking talk with your mouth full with like a load?
Can't help it.
I feel bad. I miss... We missed Thanksgiving this year. Well, we spent it together anyways. What are you doing for New Year's?
Cellar.
The cellar? I'm going to be at Vinny's Club. New Year's Eve.
I know.
Stop by.
Yeah, stop by.
Might as well. I'm not doing anything else.
Stop by. Fucking jump on stage. Do fucking 40 so I can do 15. Ah. Uh-huh.
I made a mess of your kid.
I am... No, I was going to go away to Minneapolis, or as my agent would say, Minnie. Do you want to go to Minnie?
Yeah.
But I didn't because I'm afraid of weather.
You know what bugged me about your manager? It's his fucking, his shirts with his fucking initials.
JBL?
On.
Yeah, he's a twat. Right now he's in, he's on the Ivory Coast of Africa. And he's been, did I show you the picture of him?
No.
He's a very nice but odd fellow.
Yeah,
I love Jonathan.
Yeah, me too. He's a creep.
But he's really, I mean, he's got a severe case.
He looks like the guy that would, you know, come in like in the movie back in the fucking 20s. He'd come in and, hey, ladies, buy everybody a drink.
I'm trying
and then get shot in the fucking head by the bad guys.
I'm trying to find the picture John sent me. Hold on. This is what he's doing right now with his Christmas vacation. That's where he is.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow. See, now that's just, they don't look like nice fellas.
Who's he with?
This is what, the Libyan army? Who are they?
No, it's in Africa.
Well, Libya's in Africa.
They're the rebels in Africa. And he said now that the streets are have been they're safe because the rebels are in control.
Jesus Christ. It looks like one of Little Kev's shows.
He'll talk to you.
But you know what's going to...
He'll
safe.
Talk to anybody.
He's safe, but he's not safe because that's not a good environment. That, you know.
Yeah, he goes to weird places.
Yeah, but I love those guys. I know a guy like that, too. Fucking Jack Vaughn is
Listen,
is
someone
like
has to go do it, and someone will write the book. It'll be a great movie. But it's not
going to
be me.
I've done it. I've gone to Guatemala twice. I was supposed to go to Burma. Colombia.
Guatemala's not.
No, it's not Africa.
Guatemala's bad. Are you fucking kidding me?
No,
are you fucking nuts? Guatemala, it says on the website, if you're American, don't go.
Well, Guatemala.
The gorillas
is,
in Guatemala. I mean, it's not as bad as it used to be
a few
years ago because they dismantled the military. So now the actual gorillas are the government. So now it's not that bad because there's nothing for them to do because they're all making money. But
No. I had a Guatemalan. They're not making money. We had a Guatemalan guy work for us.
The gorillas are actually the drug dealers and all that. I actually had a what's his name? Jack Vaughn lived there. He lived there, and on his prom night, got pulled over at gunpoint.
Who did?
Jack Vaughn from Comedy Central.
He went to a prom in Guatemala?
Yeah, exactly.
He lived there. His father his father worked for the government, U.S. government,
for
Guatemala. And he lived there for, you know, his childhood.
Well, this is not I'm not trying to be funny. The guy that worked for me, his brother was shot and killed for a 10-speed bike.
Who would hear that and laugh?
Well,
it's funny. Yeah. Because this is not a punchline, but a guy was murdered for a bike.
Well, because I have to say that thing with you two assholes, because
he's eating ice cream. He's fine. Why are you mad? It's not.
No, because Norton is the one of the guys I'm afraid to sit in a room with because he's so fucking funny.
I love
and he's
Vinny.
Brutal.
Nah, yeah, he's fine. He's eating ice cream. Norton, there's no gentler Norton when there's little puppies around and fucking frozen yogurt.
It's really good.
Yeah, he's got a V-neck on. Come on.
Yeah, he does. He does look rather unintimidating.
Cashmere.
Is it cashmere?
Of course.
Of course it is.
Let me tell you something. I ate so much on my vacation to Aruba.
You should lose weight, by the way.
I know. I'm trying to. I worked out every day. I worked out... not every day. Let me not lie. Okay.
Once.
I worked out 4 days in a row. I would wake up at 8 a.m. and just walk for an hour.
Right.
With my wife. She made me work out. And I did yoga one day.
Yoga is brutal.
Yoga is fucking
brutal.
I threw up in my mouth.
Nothing sounds like...
I'm not even kidding. The rising dog pose. I got
the downward dog.
I threw up because I was so full from the night before. I threw up in my mouth.
You threw up in an upward dog?
I threw up.
Let me just say this about yoga. Yoga is the faggiest sounding exercise, but it's hard to do. But let me tell you this, Robert. You need to lose weight because the weight you're carrying, that's heart attack weight when you carry it on the waist like that.
Hi, Jim.
What do you mean heart attack weight?
Because when a man carries weight on the waist like that,
yes.
That makes you much more prone to a heart attack. This is my friend, Hannah.
Oh, thank you.
You did get your father a Starbucks, right?
I did.
Is that for me?
Actually.
What'd you get me?
It's a green tea latte.
Green tea latte? You gotta love these kids. But that's why that weight's dangerous.
Hang on
because
one
that
second.
Leads to.
Did you get me something? Honey, because Vinny's daughter and they got them for something.
Oh, we only have
is this
one
yours?
To share.
You
do
swear.
You want to know the story behind the green tea latte?
That,
what?
That looks rough.
It was given as a free drink.
Why?
To her.
Why?
Because they made a mistake.
Right?
She didn't like it, so she gave it to him.
Oh, right? That's great.
Wow. You didn't have to fucking ruin their fucking happy life.
Wait,
just
what
to get out of it and throw her under the bus, you fucking.
I didn't hear what happened.
Fucking.
I mulled it over for minutes.
Wait, I had the headset. I didn't hear it. Something bad happened.
No,
my wife's a fucking rat.
Gonna get you
that's what happened.
Time,
fucking Don's a real rat, Nort.
Yeah.
I can't.
Basically, what happened was.
Thank you, Norton.
There was a mistake made.
Oh, and I got a lot to tell you because there was a mistake.
Yeah, but you would have never known that if I didn't confront my wife. And my wife wasn't such a twizzle. Yeah.
Thank you, Dawn.
And threw your pal, the 21-year-old, under the bus.
You know what, Hannah? For just a moment there, I thought to myself, oh, I really could adopt this kid. But no, you're just like, thank you, Norton, for clearing that up for me.
Yes. I know I have to lose weight. I mean, but here's the thing is that. I'm getting fucking so much.
It's easy
so
to lose
much,
weight, by the way.
So much. I know. Easy. I've lost weight 5 times. I know. I lost it. I know how easy
Very
it
hard.
Is. It's easy. It's easy. Just go to the gym and stop eating fucking carbs.
That's
for
it.
Me,
that's simple.
Not carbs. Just carbs. You can eat carbs. You
but here's
eat
the
smart.
Thing. Here's the thing. I quit
eat
smoking.
Smart, live right. It's the name of my new book.
I quit smoking.
Every diet book should be exactly that long.
I quit smoking.
Get
4 months
off your
months
ass
ago.
And don't eat everything you touch.
I quit smoking 4 months ago.
Good for you.
So.
You put weight on because of that.
Fucking absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, I got to cut myself some slack. I know. Right. It's like, you know, that was quitting smoking this time was fucking the hardest thing I've done.
Well, that's important.
It was fucking terrible.
Norton, did you
time.
Used to smoke?
Yeah, I smoked for 17 years and I quit December of 2001.
Good for you.
But you gained weight too.
Yeah, I put some weight on, sure.
But you can't, there's no way around it.
I put weight on recently. I'm trying to knock it back off.
How much weight did you look good, actually?
I feel gross. Yeah.
No, you look good.
Because I hurt my knee after John Jones kicked
What'd
me.
What'd you do?
John Jones kicked me
you
in
hurt
the studio.
Your what?
My knee. Hit my knee. But then I had a. So I was being gingery. You walk a certain way so you don't re-hurt yourself. And I made my knee more sensitive because my thigh was sore.
Right.
And I'm getting into bed one night. And you just kneel and twist into bed. And I pulled it. And I could feel I pulled it.
Ooh.
And for 2 days, I'm like, I'm going to need surgery. It was agonizing. And then it started to feel better.
Did you get an MRI?
No, I didn't need one because it's better now.
Are you sure?
I love when fat people tell me their knees are bad. I'm like, your knees are heroic. your knees are heroic.
I was in. There's nothing better to be fat and be in Aruba. I mean, just to wear.
Where'd you stay, by the way?
Mancebo Bay.
Nice.
We've stayed all over. We've stayed in pretty much every place there except for the high rise Hyatts.
Did you take a Jeep and go to the back of the island by yourself?
We've done that.
But did you do it on the tour or did you go by yourself?
No, we did it by ourselves. We've done both. We've done the tour and we did it by
ourselves. I did by myself one day. Did you ever do the cave where you
get on your knees? Yeah, you get on your knees. Yeah.
So we went to the cave one night, just Vicky and I, and it's like at dusk. Oof. And some Aruban guy walks out of the weeds. He's like, I'll give you the tour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I go, there's no bats in there, right? Because my wife's afraid of bats. And of course, he doesn't speak English. He's going, no. And we get in there, and he shines a flash. I go, see the bats? And my wife's like, fuck.
Norton, this cave. Because he's scared.
Why?
Because he wants to go to the girls, and you're holding him.
No. He was shaking when I picked him up.
I don't know. Because fucking Vinny's voice is high.
My voice does scare people.
And it hurts dogs.
All right, again, what happened in Aruba?
Yeah, we went in, and then you get down Norton. There's these caves you go to on the back of the island.
He's all nervous.
Ah, shut up. Who gives a shit?
Poor dog shaking.
Fucking homo. Shut up.
What?
On the back of the island, where you go in, and there's literally you have to crawl on your stomach or your ass.
What's that?
To go.
Mm-hmm.
Is that no Chip on the podcast?
Know. What's that?
Oh, Dawn was doing Chip in Aruba. Fucking aggravated the shit out of me. Just bugs me to know we're in the fucking literally in the water. It's beautiful out. I have my iPhone in this new, it's called LifeProof case.
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
They're amazing.
Do they work?
Waterproof.
Oh. Yeah, waterproof, yeah.
Sandproof, waterproof, shockproof. You can drop it on the ground, bring it in the fucking ocean,
right.
Drop it in the sand, case, nothing happens.
Right until the case malfunctions.
Yeah, until it's not.
No. It's fucking fine all week, and I beat the shit out of it. And I have waterproof headphones, so you can listen to fucking water and swim and whatever.
Yeah, why would you want to just enjoy the elements?
Yeah, exactly. Fucking,
yeah.
What's that?
Well, why wouldn't you just enjoy the being in the fucking... Why go there?
You know how awesome it was fucking snorkeling, listening to music?
That's got to be cool,
fucking crazy that was?
Yeah. I don't like the waterproof headphones because they're all hard plastic and they hurt my ears.
Yeah, we have sensitive ears.
I have little ears.
You've never been snorkeling. You've never done... You've never rented a fucking three-wheeler and never went to a cave, never went on vacation.
What do you do? Do you go on vacation?
No.
Why?
I would love to. I went to... Vegas with my ex a couple years ago.
I would like to go to a spa, but who am I going to go with? I have no one to go with.
But why? Have you ever gone out of the country, like Aruba or St.
No,
Saint
but I would.
Arts or, you would.
I would, but I'm work too much. I like.
What would? But this is the thing. What would you do? Like I was honestly thinking about you. Hang on 1 second. I was honestly thinking about him on my vacation. Like I'm out in the sun. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. Sitting out.
I would relax and do that.
What would you do? You're
go
so
to the spa.
Pale. You're like a fucking little baby vampire.
I'd go to the spa every day. Get massaged. I would get facials. I would lay on the beach. I would.
You
go
got
swimming.
A facial?
Yeah, I would. Why not?
Yeah. No, because I don't. You don't strike me as a facial guy.
Hi, gentlemen. I would you like that, Daddy.
Yeah, hi, Daddy.
But this is what we talked about before about working and working and having a real life.
Right
now, no one's worked harder than Norton. Norton works hard.
Norton's a hard worker, man. He
always working material, always writing new shit. But you really should get that other end of that life.
I know.
And what you might want to do is just. Get a couple buddies and go somewhere.
I would love to.
We should fucking
but my
do
buddy
that.
Is busy for Christmas. All my friends are in relationships. I would
yeah,
love
but
to go away.
Here's the thing, dude. We should go away.
I texted you, let's go see Brock New
yeah,
Year's
but
Eve.
We should go away you're and working. Do something.
I would love to go watch the UFC fight.
Yeah, but that, I mean, sure, I'd love to fucking do that. I'm not saying I'd do that, too.
That's
but
a night out, though.
That's a night
you
out.
You
want
to go away to Vegas.
Dude.
I understand that, but Vegas isn't away. Like, you got to go away, too. I'm going skiing in February. That's a way you're fucking
I won't do that because I don't want to break my leg and then not be able to work.
I agree with him. I don't want to fucking break
I'm not
break
skiing.
My...
Well, I'm saying it doesn't have to be skiing.
Aruba,
it could be whatever.
Aruba is closer than Vegas, okay? And want to talk about spa? We got massages. We got a couple's massage, which I do with you, on the beach. Literally a hut on the beach with all you heard was the ocean because it was as close as the window
I would
is
do
right
that.
Now. And it was... How great was that massage?
It was the best massage.
Ever
were you listening to your iPod?
And the only
I'm
thing
curious.
That fucking sucked is I rolled over with a fucking heart on, and I was embarrassed because my wife was right next to me.
Really?
And that Ruben flatback lady. Oh my! The shoulder
daughter.
Monsters that they are. Fucking. She gave me a chubby. I was trying so hard not to get one. I'm sorry. I said chubby and all kinds of
right
other stuff.
That is a rather mortifying moment to be there with your wife.
Because I knew what was going to happen. I knew the flip was coming. You know, it was that time where it's like, okay, roll over. But I was like, please, just go away. Just go away. Go away. And then it didn't. And it flipped and flopped. And I just felt it foom, flap. And that, you know, she had big hands too. The lady I had was her hands were catcher's mitts. She was a big lady.
Isn't that just a little weirder that you got a chubby?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
That made the whole story
and a
little suspect.
And a Reuben gentleman. Funny.
He flipped me over with one hand.
Yes. He spoke like that choreographer who did the Coco Casa commercials.
What?
7 Up,
was
black
that?
Bald guy. Forget it. Coco Casa.
Swing and a miss.
A good reference if anybody.
Yeah, if
over.
You're in a fucking alt room on the East Village. I think we should go away, man. I mean, like we used to go away. That's the one thing I missed.
Didn't you do Brazil with Patrice and Robert?
Three times, yeah.
Yeah, I missed. Yeah.
I'm shooting
that
something at the
crazy.
End of March or early April, and when I'm done with that, then I would.
But what are you shooting?
I'm doing an hour for a production company.
That's great.
Yeah.
We should go away, man. We should get Voss and stupid. Well, fuck Keith. But no, we should
just even pretend. Invite me here and then do the shit.
I was getting around to you.
Yeah.
But we should literally put it out there for everybody and go and do something.
Listen, for a while I said what I'd love to do away from sets. Just even do a Tuesday night, get together and have a dinner somewhere. Like, just sit in the city and have a dinner. Because that's the other thing that happened in our business. We see each other at a club. Yeah. Like Norton stopping over at ice cream is very impressive to me. No, I'll tell you why. Because that tells me you're. I don't know how to explain this, but there's that other aspect of your life where you go, I'm going to stop and see my friend.
Yeah, I'm trying to find people to do stuff with, like go out to dinner. Yeah. I could go out to eat almost every night, and it literally, there's no one to go to dinner with.
Right. Yeah, see, I would go to dinner with you in a heartbeat because, you know, to me, I enjoy that. I enjoy. Talking outside of the industry. When I go to a spot, you're doing
a
spot.
You know, I mean, here's the thing, too, is like, you know, as soon as, like, this kitchen, the reason why I want my house back is we used to have, like, even Thanksgiving, we had Thanksgiving at my house all the time. You'd come over, we'd hang out. I mean, Norton used to come over my place. There was nothing better than Norton would come over, eat, play with my dog, fall asleep in my recliner.
Oh, yeah.
Eat some more.
We lived in the same building.
And then go get a hooker. It was like having a cool song.
Oh, You mean a traditional holiday. The old-fashioned way. Well, to me...
But even when he has a girl. I mean, you girl, you guys would come over all the time. Hang
yeah,
out.
Yeah. She yeah. and I are still friends, so I may eat with her this week.
No.
I'm off every night. I want to go out and do stuff.
Right.
I want to go out to dinner. When do you go to Boston?
Tomorrow night. Tomorrow night.
Fuck.
Let's go. I will come you know where take you to dinner on the 27th of December.
Okay, let me see if I'm available.
I'll nah, see, to. Right away we got check. No, just no, I would love to do it.
I'm doing Red Eye one night, and I think I am available that night. Just Tuesday night?
Tuesday night. No, it's a Wednesday night.
I'm doing Red Eye. No, that's not. Red Eye is the 28th.
I'm doing
Tuesday
Red Eye
27th.
Tuesday. I'm doing Red Eye Tuesday.
Oh, right.
Res Die.
Yeah. I'm sorry, the 28th. I have Tracy Morgan doing the club on the 26th. No, the 27th I can do.
We're talking okay. about this thing, so. Too. Look at that.
Yeah, I can do that. What's this?
Pow. Don't right. do it.
I'm putting you in for dinner.
Don't fucking do it.
Cool. It's great.
That's fucking great.
Yeah.
Huh?
Very nice.
I'm going to take Norton to dinner on the 27th.
All right.
I'll call you.
I'm a good dinner companion.
Oh, I hope you cancel.
I know some very good places in Manhattan.
I bet you do.
I like
this
good
is the
sushi.
Best part about fucking Norton, though, is that he takes you out to eat. He'll be like, let's go get some food, and he takes you to fancy places.
I'm a gentleman.
The last dinner I had in the city without a set being attached.
Right.
With a comic.
Right.
Was with Patrice.
Right.
After we did Tough Crowd. That's how many years ago that was.
And really?
I remember sitting there saying, well, it's just nice. We're just hanging out having dinner. In fact, I think Danielle may have been with us. And you may have been at that dinner. We went to the Rodizio, the Brazilian joint.
Oh, it's called Plataforma.
Plataforma.
That's where we went. I think you were there.
We went to the original one in Brazil.
Yes.
We went to the guy who owns the one here. We went to the one when we were in Brazil. But, you know, what's so funny is, you know, I was on vacation this week. And, you know, I literally thought about him every fucking day, and I was in the ocean by myself, just bawling,
yeah,
like a little baby,
thinking about me.
No, not
I'm
you.
I'm kidding.
But about Patrice, and I was just like, I just don't get it. I still can't. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it does. It's one of those weird things. It's like I talked to Vaughn yesterday for like an hour. It's one of those weird things where sometimes it just makes completely no sense, and you think you can go back and undo it, but you can't. It's very, very surreal.
It just doesn't... I sit there and I'm like, I don't get it. It's like, I don't... Because here's the thing is we would go for so long and not talk.
Yep.
Because we're comics.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you just talk to them every day or see them all the time.
Right.
And it's like nothing ever happened.
Yeah, there's that sense that, oh, he's going to be back any day because he's just away.
And I still have that. Like, it doesn't make sense to me that I'm not going to be able... It doesn't fucking make sense at all. I don't get it. I don't understand it. How it's just, it's not fucking computing to me, and it's still fucking killing me. Like,
have you see? I've lost so many people in my life. I understand it. I don't like it. It's disturbing and it's upsetting, but I get it because the bottom line. And this is what I tell people, and I don't mean to get into some big heavy thing, but the bottom line is, you know, you're born, you live for a while, you die. That's the gig, and I get very upset now, people that piss away my time with their unnecessary drama. Like, I'm really at the point now where there's drama in my life. Okay, go do that somewhere else, because I don't know when my last day is. Mm. No one does. And no one, and even, you know, I really just don't want to be around that, because I think I've come and understand that more and more. And I think Geraldo,
right.
You know Barry J, right?
Barry J, yeah.
Barry J is my friend of the club who did sound and whatnot. Yeah, my friend Barry never smoked a day in his life.
He dead?
No, he didn't pass away, but he had tongue cancer.
Jesus.
And last Tuesday,
if he doesn't smoke, how does he get that?
Well, that's my whole point is he had his tongue, his larynx all removed. And, you know, no one's handled this kind of adversity.
What did he say to that?
Well,
you know, listen, I'll tell you something right now. Barry J is the most, he's the strongest person I know, because I picked him up from the hospital yesterday.
Do you think he got it? Honestly, you can get it, like, they say you can get throat cancer from oral sex if you someone has,
oh.
Seriously, if someone has, like,
from the HPV or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Fucking
it. HPV can be, I don't know. I mean, sir, I don't think they can pin it down to why
he got his tongue and larynx. Was that
he got his tongue and larynx? He's got
so
a tracheotomy. I'm sorry?
He can't talk.
He'll never talk, never swallow solid food again. But here's the point. Don't live your life in this. You got to live your life in a happy place, because you know what? You just don't know what's coming down the pipe.
Did he drink?
You know, not a heavy drinker. I mean, he enjoyed scotch.
How did he know he had tongue cancer?
He had been experiencing slurred speech for 6 months. They did a million tests. nothing. They couldn't diagnose it. And then finally they diagnosed it was tongue cancer, and that was the treatment.
Wow. If they would have got it earlier, would they have been able just to take out a little piece?
You know, what I ask
you
that.
Know what sucks about this stage of life is that something's coming for all of us. Something's coming.
Listen.
We just don't know what the fuck it is.
But that's a very good thing to keep in your head and live your life positively. Listen, again, I don't want to turn into Tony Robbins, but yeah, you got to know that, so enjoy your moment. If he's standing there for... I see it coming, Norton. I see the comment on your stupid face. I fucking see it. I know you're going to shit on me.
No, I'm not.
You don't even have to. But you got to know that your ticket's coming. And whatever it is, go ahead.
I don't disagree.
You know you were going to say something.
I wasn't.
I hate him.
Nothing wrong with that at all. It's a good philosophy.
It's just fun. I mean, that's why I go on vacation every year. I opted out of the last episode of this show that I'm on, the CBS show. I called him up. I said, if you guys need me, this was months ago. If you need me for that week, great. But I'm like a week to week. So I don't know if they're going to use. I didn't know if they're going to use me the week after. They wind up using me every episode.
It's great.
Just writing me in. But I didn't know that. But it's like, okay, do I gamble and just stick it out and then they don't use me? And then I don't go on, you know. So I said, look, if you're going to use me, let me know and I'll cancel it. And they were like, we don't know. So fucking do what you got to do. And we went, and it's like, fuck that. You know, I'm sitting there going, fuck, should I have stayed? I could have, the money would have been great. It was the last episode. Fuck me. But there's nothing I could do at that point. I gave them the opportunity. They fucking blew it off. So I had to go do what I'm going to do.
You got to live in the moment. No,
and I wouldn't change a thing. I had a fucking blast of doing nothing for 10 days.
This is where I want my head to be.
I went to bed at 9:30 one night. I was so tired.
Yeah.
I went to bed at 9:30. I haven't gone to bed at 9:30 since I was like 8. It was fucking amazing. And I woke up the next day, not like at 5, going, what the fuck do I do now? And there was no internet, really. I didn't have Twitter. I was kind of off the grid a little bit, which was...
Okay, wait a minute. You weren't off the grid.
A little bit.
There's electricity and hot water and shit.
I'm talking about as far as Facebook, Twitter, my fandom.
There was no room
bullshit.
Service.
Literally, you're doing it.
As far as show business, you're off the grid when you're on Sunset Boulevard.
That's true. Man's got a point. Doing a fucking podcast out of my undone kitchen.
That's all right.
But listen, you enjoyed yourself, and that's what, this is where I want to be in my head. Yeah. Last week, we took our dog, our little dog, to the groomer.
Right.
My wife got all dressed. We're going to go. We have to get a whole day to do. Yeah. So we drop the dog at the groomer. She puts the dog in her lap. We drive 10 feet. Dog pissed all over her. I mean, all over her. She laughed her ass off. She's like, oh my God. And I'm like, I would have killed that dog. That dog wouldn't have made it. I would have just gone to the groomer and handed her the pelt. But she just laughed. She's like, you know, it's, what are you going to do? Piss your whole day? I see the comment.
I mean, look, I was just alone on the thing. I think that's why, like, I think of Norton. I was thinking this week, like, fuck, you should go away. Like, we should do shit together, like we used to do. Like, go away and not do comedy. That was the best part of going to Brazil. We didn't do comedy. We just laughed. And it didn't have to do with fucking sets or where you're going or what you're doing. There was no show at that night. And it was like, fuck. And it was all about, it was just fucking the
Well,
fucking-
I'm happy to do that, but everybody's married or in relationships. So maybe I'm having a couple of young ladies come in the next week or so.
Who?
I don't know.
Yeah?
Maybe.
Oh, good. You should come home. We should do dinner. I mean, are they ladies that I can bring my wife around?
Sure.
I mean, oh, God.
Yeah.
If there was a video component, it would be on his face right
Dawn,
now.
Dawn, do you have a problem with ladies with Adam's apples?
She had one, she made one sausage soup that you ate.
Yeah, no.
Great was Bailey J?
She's very nice.
You know the girl, the Liz.
She's what a fucking
club.
Sweetheart.
We wanted to date you. Our girl Liz that worked at the club.
Who?
This is years ago. She wanted to date you.
Why would you tell me 8 years later?
Because well, he's a cock blocker.
No, I think that Norton.
Liz, what'd she look like?
She blonde. She was an actress, pretty blonde? Girl. No.
Oh. How old?
Well, back then she was 24.
Wow.
How would he tell me all these years later?
Because he's a cock blocker. He didn't want you to fucking ruin her.
Is she pretty?
Yeah.
How pretty was she?
This was a 8.
Why are you backing out of this? You
came well, because, in strong. I'm trying to remember Liz. I don't give a shit.
I don't know if I know her. Do I know her? Liz wanted to date me.
You spent a lot of time talking to her. I'll tell you a good funny story. Forget you.
Wait, no. I want to hear about Liz. So she wanted. Wait, where did
Attell
we...
was there one day, and Attell was hitting on my wife's friend Mariam, and Mariam treated him like it's before Attell popped. Treated him like shit. Then he gets a show on the air. He's a big star and making a ton of money. And Mariam actually comes to the club and she goes, can you call that Dave guy for me? I'm like, I think that train left the depot when you shit all over him. When he was just like, anyway.
Who's Liz?
Who's
I'll
Liz?
Find her. I'll Facebook Liz.
I might have somebody for you.
Who? How old?
30.
All right. That's as high as I go.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Why? 30 is the top, the maximum age.
What's wrong with you? Why wouldn't you go 35?
Wait, how old are you?
My wife 43. Is 30-something.
You're 43 and you won't date a girl over 30?
No. I wouldn't even acknowledge one over 30.
You wouldn't hook up with my wife? My wife is 30-something.
But Dawn's your wife. I don't look at her different. I don't look at her like...
You don't think my wife is pretty?
There's nothing to do with that.
You think she's pretty?
Yes, but it's not... I would never look at her inappropriately.
First of all, you're lying.
No, I'm not.
No.
Okay, I have evidence. Yeah. I'm in my house one day. Dawn comes out of the bathroom, which is behind Norton. I go, Dawn, put a shirt on. He turned around so fast to look at my wife's tits. It
that's
wasn't
like
even
saying,
funny.
He
almost
like
snapped
saying,
his own neck.
That's like saying I yelled fire and you looked. Does that mean I want to fuck fire? I mean, you just look when someone says something like that.
What, honey, put your shirt on?
Who wouldn't look?
Everybody.
I'm almost trying to look now that you're saying that.
I'm just double checking.
Everybody would look.
Girls, put your tops back on.
Yeah, everybody would look.
He didn't look.
Because he knows.
He wouldn't look if I said that. Yes, I wouldn't look.
I wouldn't have heard you. But if he heard you, he would look.
If you signed it.
Norton has to be the fastest cocksucker in the business. If Two guys
annoy me in the room because they're that good.
Oh.
Anthony and
who?
Norton.
Anthony Comey is very funny.
Anthony's, Jesus.
He's just so goddamn fast.
But here's the thing about Anthony, though. Anthony has a heart. Like, Anthony will go, aw.
Norton has a big heart.
Anthony's more brutal than all of us.
He is, but brutal. Anthony, if he likes you, he's nice. He has a heart. He's like, ah, come on. I was kidding. He'll give you a little bit, you know what I mean?
Norton always does it with that smile. I don't think you shit anybody you don't like.
Not really. We're not in fun. Like, it's obvious. Like, I'll attack my friends, but
right.
Because I'm it's too obvious when I really mean it. It's not fun to do when I really mean it. Like, you know, I mean, I can't playfully attack somebody who I don't like because they know I'm not kidding.
Yeah. Right. I've seen you snap on a couple people.
Yeah, it's not
when it's real.
Yeah, you know, I snapped on one day, Buddy Bolton.
Why?
I tried to break his ribs. My wife stopped me.
Why?
Why?
Buddy wanted to work the club.
You tried to break his ribs?
I tried to break his ribs. Buddy wanted to work the club, and I didn't have any waiting positions available. He wanted to work the club in the worst way possible. And every time I walked in the comic strip, he would bust my balls. Oh, there's Vinny Brand. I don't work the Stress Factory. And he would just make a production. And I said to him a number of times, listen, buddy, when I'm in here, I'm just some comic doing spots. Leave me alone. But he's making a big deal. So finally, I'm like, you know what? He can't hurt me in December. Because Buddy's not a bad actor. It just isn't what I would normally book.
Right.
So I said, let me put him in December. He's a funny enough guy. And I book him in December. And I tell him, you got the second week of December. And Buddy, for whatever reason, because he's half crazy, you know, hi, kitten, the whole nine yards, just doesn't acknowledge it. And I keep telling Buddy, you have the second week of December. So I'm taking my wife to dinner. I go, I'm just going to do a quick spot. We'll go to dinner. And I said to her, I'm already in a bad mood.
Why would you do that? What about your life?
No. She wanted to come
do
to the
a
city.
Quick spot.
I know. After his big speech about live life to the fullest.
No, she.
Now
won.
He's like, look, we were on our way to the hospital. I said, let me do 10.
He's bringing his daughters to a podcast. He really fucking multitasking cocksucker.
I just hear me out. She
his
wanted
daughter's
to go to
friends.
City.
Did you
here.
Tell your daughter that you were coming to a pod? You probably said, hey, let's go out for a night in the city.
No,
we'll see the
I
tree.
Didn't.
No, that's exactly what I thought. I thought we were going to a comedy club.
Oh, you're a liar. So what happened is,
his daughter's pretty funny, though.
Yeah, she's a
star. She's going downstairs with my wife. She goes, I'm going to miss the funny. Oh, wait, I already did.
she's nasty. It's a long walk. So, Buddy, I walk on the strip, and I told my wife, I don't want to deal with any comics asking for spots, because at the strip, it was always bad. And Buddy's there, and he starts again with the whole, oh, there's Vinny Brand. I headline everywhere, but I don't headline this. And he's going on. And I go over to him. I go, Buddy, I go, you have the second week of December. And he's calling me kitten, and he's purring, and I'm like, all right, stop. I'm not in that mood. But you can break a man's ribs.
What did he say when you said you have the second week in December? Did he acknowledge?
He just
you?
Kept ignoring me. He's going, no, I don't work the stress factor. I don't work the stress factor. And it's a good way to break a man's ribs, if you grab him from the side, mm-hmm. you can put your thumb up on a rib and just pull in, mm-hmm. and you can snap a rib in.
Like yeah, my that. Little brother did that to me last year. It hurts.
So I had just red.
Anyways, line. You fucking jailhouse psycho. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, no, well, Buddy's also. Yeah. I mean, you can break a rib on Buddy by looking at him hard.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I grab him and I pick him up. And I go, oh, Buddy, I love you. And I pull in hard. And Vicky's there. And she's like, put him down. And Vicky pinches the back of my arm super hard.
Right.
So I have to put Buddy down.
Right.
And she goes, you can't do that. You can't just break someone's rib. I'm like, yeah. well, he's got to leave me alone. And so then I told him, Buddy, you have this week. And he goes, Mom, I don't work the stress factor. And then I blew it out. I said, okay, fuck it. I'm not going to put him in.
Well, yeah, but really your wife is right, though. You can't just break people's ribs.
She's very calming influence on me.
Well, yeah. It's very, no, but it's actually pretty smart.
She's very smart.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's...
Vicky stopped me from two very bad things. She stopped me from possibly murdering a kid.
Right.
Years ago at the club, there was a young kid that worked for me. And he said some really inappropriate things to my oldest
Oh, I
daughter.
Remember that.
Yeah,
I remember that.
And that kid was going to get hurt bad. That right, kid was gonna,
well, that deserved.
Well, she pulled me off him. He had the deep purple bruise around his neck. I mean, he was down.
Right.
And I was like, that's it. You were done. His mother actually brought him
Should
back
have took
in.
The sled off the wall and hit him with it.
Yeah, it said Rosebud.
Well, his mother brought me back in and brought him in and said, what'd you do to Mark?
Right.
I'm going to go to the cops. And I said, well, before you go to the cops, let me tell you what Mark did.
Right.
And she got mortified. Now, 6 months ago, I go to my dentist.
Yeah.
And the hygienist says, I'm Mark's sister.
Yeah.
I said, oh, no shit. I go, yeah. And I was like a little uncomfortable. And she goes, I want you to know you saved Mark's life. I go, what? And she goes, after that night that you did that, he straightened up and he stopped being, because he was being a pain in the ass to a right. lot of people. And she said, you saved his life. I think you choked it out of him.
Right. I told Vinny this. He likes stories with a beginning, middle, and a happy ending. He's a very lifetime channel conversationalist.
There's a moral. There's a ray of sunshine.
Morals at the end.
There's
of
a ray
everything.
Of sunshine at the end of every one of his "I almost killed somebody" stories. It's not about his rage issues or about the fact that he has a fucking hair trigger temper. It's the ray of sunshine at the end.
You really are. You know, fucking glasses half.
The real
full,
story
psycho.
Is I almost choked a kid instead of firing him, but he turns it into I saved his life. That's good. That's great.
Wow.
That's very good.
Times.
Yes. Jesus. That's like Richard Speck telling everybody, like, don't I just prevented a bunch of bad nurses from getting jobs.
Ah, shit. Anyways, man. Well, listen, we're promoting the Stress Factory. Mm-hmm. Me. Are you on the show?
Yeah, of course.
All right, so it's me, you, and then some fucking...
Leonard Marcus.
Lenny Marcus.
Lenny Marcus.
Fucking love Lenny Marcus.
I know. Well, you know what happened? Lenny was... I haven't talked to Esty in 5 years.
Right.
So Lenny...
Why did you stop going there?
Reverse that. Esty hasn't talked to you in 5 years. Go ahead.
That's true, too. No, she just put me on a hiatus list because I went on vacation, and I never called back in. I'm like, you know what? I'm a grown man. I go on vacation.
Right, yeah.
And I like Esty. Esty's very nice. Huh?
Where'd you go?
I went skiing that time.
Okay.
And that was what my impression was. Who knows why? You know, it could have been the bad sets. But anyway, so what happened is...
fucking Chip.
Lenny was booked there. Right. But Matt had said, well, Robert's going to want Lenny. And I said, okay. I thought Matt booked Lenny.
Oh.
So I called Lenny on Monday to confirm. And he goes, Vinny, I'm at the cellar. He goes, right. You got to call Esty and ask if it's okay with Esty. I go, Lenny, I haven't talked to Esty in 5 years.
Right.
But she's very pleasant. And she said, you know,
wait, Lenny wanted Vinny, you to call for him?
Yeah, I called for him because it's the right way to do it. Because Esty booked him and she didn't want to have Lenny didn't want to have him.
Wait. This is for New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
Lenny, no, the way to, that's not me. The way to handle that is for Lenny to call Esty and go, I got another gig that
you
pays
can do
more.
That, but Lenny.
I would never ask a club owner to call another club for me.
Well, Lenny's not, he's probably a little scared of his position at the
he's
cellar.
He's texting me right now.
Where he's, you know, he's maybe a little nervous where it's like, can you do that for me? Do me a solid.
Okay. Yeah, because you know, listen.
He doesn't want Esty to be in bad standing and not get spots because Esty's. Right. Resty's using them, and you know,
stop explaining.
You know, and then things, you know, sometimes it. When you do things,
it hurts you.
You know, and then
yeah. See, here's the difference. You know, Jim, you can cancel a spot. People are going to say, "Okay, Jim canceled. Yeah. I'm going to put him back on the show."
Right.
Lenny doesn't have and every other week appearance on Leno and our daily radio program to, you know, and Esty was very nice about it. And I actually enjoyed talking to
him. So here's the deal. It's me, you, Lenny Marcus, Thursday one show at the Stress Factory in New York.
Yep, that's going to be fun. Thursday's going to be the fun.
Thursday's going to be fun. I gave out some tickets last night.
That's great.
So I'm going to get those, we should give out a couple tickets now. You want to give
us? Yeah. I mean, saying now is odd because it's going to be when they broadcast, but yeah,
It's actually, it's Monday. It's coming out Monday. So yes, we'll give out a couple tickets by Tuesday.
How are you going to give out the tickets?
Because they got to email. I can tell you how you do it. You email vinny@stressfactory.com. V-I-N-N-I-E.
All right. The first, how many people?
For Thursday night.
Everyone listening.
So five.
Wait, I can't give away two tickets.
The first time. Ah, shit. Oh, you made it funnier. You made it funnier, son. Go ahead.
We'll do it for the first 10. I'll give away 10 at the two for Thursday and Friday. We'll mix
Thursday
them
and Friday for whatever you want. So you for the first 10 people, for Thursday or Friday show, one show Thursday, two shows Friday.
Right.
If you email
VINNIE@stressfactory.com, or you can call 732-545.
And
do you know how many people will come up to me and do that? Just walk up to the club and go, all right, okay, I'm a fan of the show too. If they call the club and say, I heard the Robert Kelly podcast,
perfect.
And if I may be the whore that I am, because I don't tweet.
Right.
But I do have a Twitter account.
I know you do. I actually, it's Vinny_Brand.
Yeah. I've been working on my tweets because I don't find my life that fascinating.
Yeah.
But yet I enjoy tweeting.
Tweet jokes. That's
some
what
people
comics are good
some
for.
People actually, he's good at tweeting.
He's very
Morgan
good.
Murphy's really funny at tweeting. Andy Levy's funny. Listen, I'm not. I. You know what? I sometimes I've
spit it out, Bob.
I've typed one funny thing or two funny things on Twitter.
Do you have That's any it. Followers are following you?
I promote shit. I once in a while I'll get a good one. I did one good one. It was black women shouldn't wear white deodorant because it looks like their armpit just ate ice cream.
That's just racist.
It's pretty funny.
You should stick to promoting shit.
That's pretty funny. Go find yourselves. I don't care what
That's
you think.
That's just hateful.
It's hateful. Speech.
Comedy of hate, I don't go for.
So your Twitter is Vinny_Brand. Right. Okay, cool. And then we'll give away first 10 people to email Vinny. We'll get some tickets. It's going to be great. And then New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve, two shows, 8 and 10:30. That is, you're going to have more fun on New Year's Eve at my club than you can imagine.
Well, here's the deal. We got two shows. The first show is $40 a ticket. You get
dinner and show.
Dinner and show.
And the second show is $98, and you get dinner, show, open bar, and dancing afterward.
That's going to be fucking nuts.
I'll tell you,
it's well worth the money. It's well worth the money because you'll spend way more money at a fucking bar buying drinks for everybody.
I think the term you're looking for is you get a lot of bang for your buck.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Leave it to Norton to really plug it.
You know who did New Year's Eve one night, and he never did New Year's Eve? He hated New Year's Eve.
Who?
Patrice.
Right.
And he wouldn't do it.
Right.
And I called Matt, and Matt's like, Vinny, he's not going to do it. And I called Patrice and said, Patrice, I'm telling you, you're going to have fun.
Right.
And then he did New Year's Eve. He had a blast.
Right. I'm looking forward to it. I actually only do the Cellar. I've done the Cellar, which I have fun because I know everybody. It's a good time. And I did the Boston Garden with Dane one year, which was like 18,000 people.
That's crazy.
Was ridiculous.
But Norton, how come you don't go out? Do you ever go out and just go do a big show?
I always do. But this year is the first year I'm not in years because it would have been Minneapolis. But like I said, I'm scared of weather. Like, I bet you could have a snowstorm and miss a flight, and there'd be no, and you miss your gig.
So, now do you do a club, or do you do a big theater? Or?
Small theater club. A couple years ago, I did,
Why don't you get a bus like Madden and just travel the country?
Well, the snow will stop that, too.
Yeah.
I was kidding.
I will do,
I'm sorry. I got my serious moment. Well, you know, Robert.
Snow will stop that, too. It's no good. What's your next
plan? If they close down I-70, Robert, that's a terrible road.
You'd have to have a plow on the front of that bus.
Go ahead, Norton, tell us.
Looking at the dog is finally calm now.
At least you're not looking at the girls.
No. All right, Dawn has had it with our presence.
So check it out. So make sure you go to stressfactory.com.
.com, yeah.
Dawn is watching this podcast the way I watched The Help last night.
How was The Help?
It was a really inspirational story of the courage of a white journalist. It was okay.
What was it?
About black maids.
And wait a second, did the white girl learn anything?
You saw that fucking movie? Yeah, I wanted to.
That book is supposed to be amazing.
Why the fuck would you?
I hate that.
Did you read the book?
Redheaded lisping bitch.
Have you read We the Animals?
Oh, she's good.
Fifth.
Have you read We the Animals?
No.
I'm gonna tell you something.
Both French, as in yes, the animals, or is it
No, W-E, the animals. Book's 110 pages long. The greatest. I'm telling them right now, you gotta read it. Really, like, but you're gonna read it and go, holy shit, I just got punched in the stomach. But you're gonna laugh a little, and it's great.
Right. It's a little long, though.
We the Animals.
How many pages?
110 pages. Very short novel.
It's a short
novel. It's almost novella. It's almost a novella.
Yeah.
I know.
A novella. But it's really good.
All right, let's fucking end this thing. It's yeah, thanks for coming on, dude. Thank I really you, appreciate sure. it. Vinny Brand.
Oh, sorry.
Make sure you check out his comedy and make sure you check out his fucking comedy club.
Do you have any decaf coffee?
Yes, we do.
Let's have some decaf.
All right, relax. Let me end the fucking show, you fucking party end pooper. It. And
party pooper.
Jim,
this is your idea of a party? Two guys in an unfinished kitchen talking to 13 Jim, people.
Jim fucking Norton at Jim Norton on Twitter. And that's it for you know what, dude. Merry fucking
Christmas.
Could you
hang a lower chandelier in here too?
Which one? That one?
Yeah.
That's for the table.
Oh, okay.
That's where the table goes, you jackass. Right, and that's Dawn's.
I didn't say I didn't like it. It was just too
you
low.
You did. It's not too low. Yeah, there's like, a table like supposed a to go there. all right. That's it. Fucking goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Merry Christmas, motherfuckers, and happy Hanukkah to all you Jews. I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my farts for subscribing, tweeting, Facebooking, reviewing, and telling a friend about the You Know What Dude podcast over the last year. It's been fucking nuts. Crazy year. I want to thank you for listening and donating and all the shit you do. We really appreciate it. Me, Joe DeRosa, Dan Soda, fucking Monster Voice, No Shoulders Joe, and all the other people that have been on the podcast over the year. It's been one fucking crazy year. I want to thank all the other shows at riotcast.com, Glory Hole Radio, Rich Voss and Bonnie, The Comedy Cellar, The Jersey Jerks, The Fucking Nerds, The Two Chicks, Hammer Fisting. You guys, make sure you listen to those guys, and it's been fucking wild. Riotcast.com, Merry Christmas to all my fellow cocksuckers over there. You guys have been great. And this year, 2012, is going to be even bigger. So Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, God bless you, and that's it. Do 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 boom ba da boom bam skid a doom boom ba da boom ba ba da boom skip a dip a doom ba ka ta ka boom ba da boop a doop a doop a doop a doop boop.